Hey there, welcome to the third episode of Crippled System. I forgot the name of our podcast for a second there. I forgot we had one because our entire format had been stolen by Musai Minis.
He fell on Jeremy's strength. He can do an intro successfully.
Well, he can remember the name of the faction. And by faction, I mean podcast. Christ. If we ever do a drunk podcast, it can't possibly be worse.
Yeah, it's true. We're ridiculous.
Might be more
sober.
Focused.
I'm not starting over. I say we stick with this.
All right. And going.
I'm Nathan, and I play mercenaries and piggies.
I'm Katie, and I play Circle.
I'm Jeremy, or Valiant418, and I play Rhett, and I play Legion.
I'm Andy. I play Trolls.
I'm Brian, Carnage for You on the forums, and I play currently focusing on Crix.
All right.
Hey. Speaking of Brian and playing things.
That's me.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about things?
Yes, playing with things. Brian, tell us about things you play with. Why? Why do you play Crix, Brian?
Why do I play Crix? Well, Crix is a faction that I started 9 years ago. Well, probably 8 years ago. Let's do the math. No, sorry.
Nobody cares.
All right. Okay. I joined Crix for two reasons. One, I was playing Warhammer Fantasy, and I was slowly losing interest in that game. I wanted something new. This game was on the shelf for probably a year, and I'm like, that looks interesting. I did a random demo with a person who was running the store. The demo went horrible. I thought that War Machine was the dumbest game I've ever played. I'm like, why would anyone bother it? I gave it 6 months later. I'm like, I'm less interested in Warhammer. Maybe that demo went bad. I went out, and I did have an inkling to play. I liked the idea of Undead. And I kind of was looking at the shelf of the model, and I saw Iron Lich Asphyxius, and I said, that is my faction for life. Because that guy looks like one bad motherfucker. I mean, spoiler mother please. Beep. And I was in. I had no idea that the faction happened to be pretty good. I just knew that I needed to play that. I bought the model. I bought the starter set. I bought a couple things. And then I went to my first tournament like a week later. My first game was at a tournament. I sit down against a Manoth player. He's playing Fiora. Like turn two, he goes forward, pops her feet. My entire army's on fire. I'm like, holy mother of God. Like, two-thirds of my army die. I'm like, I don't know if I like this game. Then I go, I pop my feet, and I kill all of his army. I'm like, wow, this is the greatest game in the world. It's like the back and forth, just punching it, you know, Rochambeau strategy style was just amazing.
You didn't just get the swizzle stick on her?
No, I just went all in and just so. I think I ended up losing the game in the very end, but it was so much fun to see the back and forth craziness. And then from there, there's everything about. Then as I learned the faction, I just loved every aspect about it. I just loved the magic. I mean, the debuffing and the magic and the infantry swarm. Especially Mark One, you didn't use Jax on Mark One as much. And Crix is all about like, you know, putting five Arknodes on the table and just, you know, 20 Bane Knights, you know, a bunch of Bile Thralls. People, you know, friendly lists is what I'm saying.
That I played. Everybody loves playing against Crix.
Yeah. So that was just, it was just so much fun to play that style of a game. I love the swarm. I love the undead feel. I loved arcing spells around. Because in Mark One, you could really sling spells pretty dangerously and pretty well. And it was just all sorts of just craziness. And that really what drew me into the game. And I guess, generally, what other factions? I mean, I play Scorn. I originally almost got in the Circle, but it was too similar to Crix. I wanted something different. And since Scorn's all about putting a bunch of big guys on the field, Titans and all that kind of stuff, I really like the idea of going completely different. And I kind of like the fluff of Scorn. I really like their kind of militaristic nature and kind of where they came from. So that was it. Just seemed like a really fun, different thing. And Mark One, Ancestral Guardians were the greatest thing in the world because I could kill casters from like 20 inches away with one Ancestral Guardian. It was very what I would call fair and balanced.
The first time you ever did that to me, like we're playing the game and I'm just steamrolling you and it's going real well and I'm feeling so good because Brian, you know, is not a bad player. And then you have your pain givers charge forward and the first one just like runs and turns around and then the next one charges him and then the third one charged him and the fourth charges and you had all six of your guys in a conga line and then you just started murdering your own guys. I'm like, what the hell is this idiot doing? Like, I know he's losing, but he doesn't have to just kill his own units like a schmuck. And then he's like puts a stack of souls on Ancestral Guardian and moves it from like the other table in the other room 97 inches with 30 attacks at triple weapon master onto my caster. It's like, oh, so that's something that he can do.
It's a good way to win. That's
I mean, that's really fun. Honestly, you have the giant beasts that were really good. I kind of like Scorn Infantry as well, but obviously they're a much stronger beast faction. And Mark II, I mean, I played, you know, four Titans quite often with Rashad, sometimes five Titans when I was feeling a little silly. People didn't really appreciate that, but it's just a fun thing, you know. And then I don't know, I play a little...
Rhinodons. You have, like, three or four Rhinodons.
I have three Rhinodons.
Yeah, I definitely got beat by the Rhinodon Swarm, which was a little embarrassing.
I love winning tournaments when all I have is, like, three Rhinodons on the table, because your opponent's like, I don't know what's going on. You have Emorgul and all Rhinodons. I don't... This makes no sense, and it's killing me, and I hate you. So
nothing's
worse
than losing to something that just looks...
stupid.
Awful.
Yeah.
Like, how the heck am I losing to three Rhinodons?
And I bought three because I like dinosaurs. So I'm like, ooh, three dinosaurs. That was my strategy.
Rhinodons look awesome.
They look awesome, but they're not like, you know, you're supposed to lose. Like, the rule book says they bring a Titan, a Gladiator, you know, this, and then you lose to it. And then when you look down, you're like, there's just three Rhinodons. I don't understand what's happening to me. You're so confused.
I remember I had to assemble three Rhinodons for Brian. I even sculpted like a little Pokeball for him.
Nice.
For one of his casters.
Yes.
You know, I choose you, Rhinodon.
That's pretty good.
And then I dabble with Gators, and I say Gators, not Minions, because I didn't want a full second faction, and I got in the Gators solely based on the look of the model. And someday they'll play well, and I'll be happy. Although they are getting better and better stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say Rask or whatever.
So maybe this year I'll put them out more, because I love the models. They're gorgeous, and I want kind of a fun, silly faction, but I like the illusion of having a chance to win. So hopefully this year I'll have a chance to actually have some good games with those guys.
Seems good.
Yeah. I started with Krix. That was my first faction. That's actually... I had zero interest in playing any minis game at all. Like, I played 40K... 18 years ago, like in high school, and got out of that and got rid of everything, and then I'm in the game store, just walking around. I think I was buying like a RPG supplement book, and I'm walking past the counter, and they have their catalog out, like for stuff that they can order from the manufacturing companies, you know, with all the different companies in there. And upside down, I happen out of the corner of my eyes to glimpse Terminus, and I went, "What is that? How much money can I give you to play it? Just give here. Here's my wallet. I want that model." So I bought Terminus, and then I got the rules and figured out how to play the game so that I was allowed to play Terminus. And then
Krix casters just call out to players. They summon you, the Lich Lord. You get the call. You're like, "Yep, I need to play this."
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then,
it helps. They call soulless people mostly, I've noticed, since you two both play them.
Well, Nate doesn't play them anymore.
It's true.
Fair.
He has half a soul then.
Yeah, no. Well, what it was towards the end of Mark 1, we had a tournament here in town, and like between there was like 20 something players, because a whole bunch of the Folks and Furies guys came down from Minnesota, and R2D2 joined the podcast.
Good job, phone.
Good job, phone.
Sorry about that.
Wow. So like we had like 20 something people from all around, and of those 20 some people, like 10 of them were playing Krix. It was half the tournament. And so the next day I just sold all my Krix to somebody and bought a Merc army because nobody was playing Mercs.
There's a reason for that.
So how long
or
have you
Jim
been
Jim was
Mercs?
Playing Mercs.
I was playing Mercs.
We're not talking everybody
well,
though.
Andy owns everything, so Andy can say he played Mercs.
Not everything. I can count it on one hand what factions I don't own.
You can count on one finger what factions you don't own.
No.
Two fingers.
Yeah. No, I don't have Retribution.
Yeah.
You don't have
that
Sickles.
Was not
Signar.
Topical at the time.
Signar.
Anyway,
yeah,
the point
but anyway,
is,
go ahead.
I'm like, gee, 10 Krix players, 0 Mercs.
Yeah.
So I switch. But.
So yeah. So Carnage, he likes factions that are good and undead because he has no soul.
And I actually, one thing I've done good now is I'm not expanding new factions. I actually sold off my Signar. I used to play Signar a little bit. I sold off my Mercs. I'm literally down to my core factions. I will never add or change factions unless I get rid of a faction.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to buy my Scorn or Krix, I would switch factions. Otherwise,
wait,
you'll
sell your Krix?
I would sell anything to jump factions. But I would. But you give me $5,000, you can have my.
Oh
Krix.
Well, yeah. No.
Yeah. I think one War Machine, one Hordes faction is good to own.
I agree. It's it gives you a nice way to see both sides of the coin, as it were.
I have too many other hobbies. I can't divulge more money into this.
I haven't noticed that about you.
I don't get this at all. This is all foreign to me.
I disagree with several of your lifestyle decisions, and owning 10 factions is one of them.
I feel like one faction is really plenty.
If I don't put a model on a table...
At one time.
I have a rule. If I don't play a model once a year, I shouldn't own that model. I'll get rid of it.
Well, you didn't play any of your Krix last year.
Well, yeah, it's been a year, so there.
I'll just take all your Krix.
Rule's done.
Based on
that. Get rid of all your Krix.
That's why I rotated back into them.
But it's been a year.
Exactly. That's why I started playing them.
Oh, okay.
I hit my limit. I was like, one day.
It was 11 months and 29 days, and now you're back in?
Yep.
You played every model in one day?
It was a very long day. Jordan did not enjoy that game.
Yeah, I was going to say, everyone that played against
400 points.
400 points at Crick seems bad.
That would have been extremely horrible if you got into like an accident like midway through the 11th month and it was laid up and you're like, oh crap, I got to summon
I'm in a Crick. Coma for 4 weeks.
he wakes up from a coma. We just barter town to all your stuff.
We're doing it was in your year. Wishes.
Done. Yeah. It was in his living will. All right.
My favorite thing when I played Crick was to always insist to people that they were the good guys.
Yeah, they're not.
Well, they are.
They are.
Handsome Jack.
Excuse you. You're welcome for the Orgoth being destroyed. You are welcome.
Well, Rhett doesn't particularly care about the Orgoth being
destroyed.
Well,
the whole continent being subjugated again, you would have cared about.
I would have eventually cared.
What's the Orgoth?
Fluff-wise, way in the past, the whole continent was overrun by these people from across the ocean who just subjugated them for, like, I think thousands of years. It was at least time. Hundreds and hundreds
between
of years.
Between 20 years and thousands of years. We're like, not sure exactly.
Generations and generations and generations. At least, it was several hundred at least. But then everybody, the warjacks were invented, although giant virgins giant called, virgins. Not called colossals.
They were called colossals. They were more fundamentally different than the ones
Well, they
nowadays.
Were bigger than the ones now, right?
They're big, like, think like Iron Man's first suit in the Iron Man movie. Just big, clunky, not high tech, but it did the job. So they were invented, they overthrew the Orgoth and forced them to retreat, but they retreated to an island and they were going to muster their force again and reconquer everything. And Torok's like, you know, I'm done with the competition. And he just sent all of his armies. And he like lost like 75% of his army. Like, he took massive, but he doesn't care. No, he just killed all of them. Like, they're all just like done.
Yeah,
like,
no,
he just annihilated the Orgoth. I mean, maybe there's some originally from way over there. Oh, Crixus? Well, exactly. Like, Torok's like, well, I can lose almost everything, and I don't care because 1,000 years from now, enough people will have died that I will have them again, and so that's why he did it.
Yeah, I don't even think it takes him 1,000 years. Is the sad part, but
right, but yeah.
Exhibit A: Mechthralls can go to hell.
But the other thing is, like, he doesn't want to fight anybody. Like,
no, he does. He wants to own everyone.
No,
I feel like
that involves
fighting.
If you were just, he just wants to kill his kids.
Right.
If you were just got out of the way,
Rhett would happily get out of his way.
No, you've got all your, like, people living there and stuff.
Well, right. But none of his kids are near me, so if he would just ignore me, he needs to check. No, he's going to take my
word
for it.
Like, you know, if
you do argue less when you're dead, though.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That is his point.
And you will kneel before Zod when you're dead. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's kind of like if you drop something in the carpeting, you're vacuuming up the carpeting, and there's, like, you know, an ant or something, and there's, like, why are you killing me? And you don't care about the ant. You're just trying to find that penny you dropped. And it's easier to just...
Why are you vacuuming up a penny? That seems like a terrible
idea. It's like a 1902 penny that's worth $1 million,
so
and
when you, like,
you're blind.
Look for it?
So you do the trick with a... You put the pantyhose over the inside of the tube.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying, why is that an oh God? That's a good trick.
No, it's a terrible story. Never mind the trick. It's a terrible story.
What I'm saying
story.
Is Torok wears pantyhose.
What is happening right now? Why do people
listen
to this
podcast?
We need
to move on to something that is not you vacuuming up pennies with pantyhose. Anything except that.
Well, that's the end of get into O'Brien. Next week, we'll get to know another member of our
Yeah, and let us know on the forums where we post this whether you're interested in us talking about what we play or if you think that was the most boring 5 minutes of your life. And you wish you could have it back.
Well, it was actually 14 back. Minutes.
Well, whatever. Anyway, so let us know.
Nobody else has any other comments about Crix or Scorn?
Well, like,
because none of us play it, so this is the opportunity
to
talk
about
it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
true. Like, I mean, I personally understand that Brian really liked the look of Crix and stuff. I was the opposite. Like, I saw Crix and I was like, man, that's ugly. And then I started playing and I was like, man, I wish I bought Crix. Because, boy, are they fantastic. But, I mean, it just didn't attract me when I started playing the game.
I just can't
identify with that Crix
love. I've done a good job of every miniature game I've ever got into. I always get into a faction based off of how the models look and if I learn about the fluff. I never have gone, oh, here's a new game. These are how the rules work. These are how the factions work. I'm going to pick it based on that. I've always gone with look and fluff first. Those are the two most important things for me to play a faction.
Well, and that's actually an excellent thing I would like to comment on. Not that anyone's going to listen to this podcast if they don't play this game because, oh my gosh, they have better things to do with their time. But
what about your mom?
Okay, my mom, maybe. Okay, fair.
Yeah. So anyway, hey, Jeremy's mom, listen.
Jordan's mom listened.
Jordan's mom did listen. Sweet. If you're going to get into any game, whether it be this game or any other miniatures game, like, if you don't enjoy the fluff of your faction, like, the people that I know that have gone to a second faction or whatever because it's, like, super powerful or whatever, they never seem to have as much fun. Like, at the end of the day, especially if you're trying the game out, pick something that you like the way it looks or you like the way it sounds.
Looks, I would say. But I think that's actually more important. Like, the fluff, you could know nothing about the fluff, but, like,
but some people
you want to know
bunnies.
What it
looks
like. That's true.
Marshall
that's true.
Is a fluff bunny. He cares.
But the look's the big thing, because you're going to see those models all the time.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I forget who it was, I think it might have been you, Nathan, that said this, but, like, you were like, whenever I play a game, like, whether it be WoW or something like that, I want to pick a female character, because if I'm going to be looking, oh no, it was Keith, because if I'm going to be looking at this ass for the next 160 hours of gameplay, I want it to be a good-looking ass. And that was Diablo 3 he was telling me about. He said, that's why I always play female characters in the Diablo games, because I'm going to be looking at that character from behind for a long time.
There's also a more disturbing reason why he does that.
Well, we'll save that for the other.
He doesn't actually play the game. He just loads it up.
Yeah, he just loads up. I play female characters in MMORPGs because people will literally just give you stuff.
Well, yeah.
Like, you don't even have to pretend. Like, I've never, like, pretended to be a female gamer on there, but I'll just be running around and people come up and just give me resources. And they're like, oh, your character has boobs. Here's free stuff.
Especially if your female character's named Magoose.
Yes.
But my point is, for War Machine specifically,
you had a
like,
point?
Whatever you want, whatever the look of a faction is, like, you're going to be looking at it a lot. Painted or unpainted. And that's another reason that encourages painting your models, I think. It's like, I eventually, even though I hate painting and I don't paint and I convince Katie to paint my models for me, I really like playing the stuff that I have that's painted because it just looks cooler on the table and I'm going to be looking at it a ton. Like, I think that's a valid, like, that's a good valid reason to pick your first faction you're going to play in a game in.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
So, anyway, that was my point.
Any reason to pick a faction is an okay reason to pick
a
faction.
Well, no, but I'm saying I think it's important, like, for long-term playability, important. If you want to stay like, in a game, it's important.
Well, I'm against people, like, buying something just because it's super hyper-competitive and they want to win. Like, I'm
kind of... I have to say, for a second faction, I'm super okay with it. But for getting into a game system... Like, because admittedly, there are people that, they get into a game, they start playing, and they're like, I like this, I want to play competitively, and my first faction was red. Oops. Like... I play Red. I love Red. Don't get me wrong. But, like, if you're someone, like, super highly competitive, like, your goal is to win War Machine Weekend this coming year, 2013. That is your goal. You've been playing for a year or whatever, and now you're going to win War Machine 2013. I love the shit out of Red. I don't recommend that you buy that faction in order to win War Machine Weekend in 2013. I just don't. I think there are other factions that are more solid if that's your focus is being competitive.
Well, yeah, but what ends up happening a lot of time is they don't necessarily pick the most... powerful faction, they pick the most powerful faction against what they're currently playing because that's what beats them the most.
Which is valid.
Well, that's actually a super valid point. Yeah. You know, because that's meta shifting then.
I jumped to Signar after playing Krix because I was sick of dying of the damn shooting. When I played Krix for semi Signar for like a year, but then I'm like, you know, I don't like this faction, so I just got rid of it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't what drew me to the game.
Yeah, and there's
the
style
shooting
play.
Is for losers. I mean,
shooting is awesome.
Losers.
That's a big one. Yeah. Like, so, if I ever switched Hordes faction, I would pick up Scorn just because of one experience. Like, I was at Gen Con 2 years ago, maybe three now, and I saw it was Watts was playing, and it was P. Morgul. And it was just fascinating to me that he was outnumbered, like, 6-1. And every turn, P. Morgul would charge forward, kill, like, a half dozen guys, and then run back to safety. And then the other guy would kill, like, one or two things. And then Morgul would just go forward, wipe out another unit, and run to safety. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, this is amazing. I sat down and just stared, fascinated at the game, which I'm sure freaked out Watts because I was a judge at the event at the time. So I'm just sitting there staring at him play, like, eyes wide open. But no, it's just because it was hypnotic watching this one model. So if I ever switch Hordes factions, I'm just buying P. Morgul because I'm gay
faction.
For that guy. I'm just gay for P. Morgul.
You're not just gay for P. Morgul. You're also gay for P. Morgul.
Yes.
All right. Anybody else commenting on Carnage and his decisions in life?
No, I agree with most of his decisions in
all
life.
Right. Deal. What
not that shirt, though.
Well, he wears a shirt a lot.
Well, that's because it's got a little tear right there in the sleeve.
It's true, and it's bugging
true,
me.
It does.
That's why
he wears it.
You realize I explained this to people yesterday. Half my wardrobe is chosen because I know things will bug you. Yeah. I put a sock on inside out when I visit you just because I know you'll notice it at some point and freak out.
You did not do that on purpose last time.
Every time. Ever since I've been over here, I always do it, though.
I have a sock that's inside out.
How do you? How? Why? How does that happen? You put your socks on and they have a right side out.
Well, right. But so I don't always fold laundry super quickly after I wash it.
She doesn't ever fold laundry?
I do, eventually.
Period.
So sometimes when I go sock hunting, they're not always the right side. And so I just put them on the way that they are.
See, that's where it breaks out. Because I can understand, like, in your sock drawer having socks that are inside out. But once you take it out and you're going to put it on your foot, you go, oh, this is inside out. Like, you do that with your shirt. You do that with your pants.
She doesn't always do that with a shirt, for the record. I've seen her wear shirts inside out. I've seen that.
It's time management.
I think we're the smart one, Katie.
Time management.
My brain's just going for other things. These just starting.
She's on a whole other level.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I'm going with.
All right.
That's okay. You guys all tried to make me flip out today, hoping
I
would notice the
clock. We were so sad.
Little known to you that I actually owned a book entirely about the history of clocks. So
actually,
I knew
you
that
mentioned
before.
That on a couple of occasions.
No, yeah.
But I didn't
know
this.
But why do you own the book of the clocks?
Did you know that clocks run clockwise because they were invented in the Northern Hemisphere? If they're invented in the sun, well,
because of toilets?
Sundials. The sundial shadows go clockwise. If sundials had been invented in the Southern Hemisphere,
they would go the other way.
Yeah. Or clocks. No. If clocks had been invented in the Southern Hemisphere, when clocks were invented, they mimicked the sundial.
Makes sense.
Well, either way, the reason he owns a book about Quax is because the thing that we were trying to troll him about had already bugged him.
Yes, that is true.
Once enough for him to read a book
about clocks.
Well, yeah.
So the thing, just for the record, the thing we're trolling him about is apparently a lot of clocks that use Roman numerals for their numbers. The number 4 is III, which is not a Roman numeral for those of you keeping score at home.
No.
It should be IV.
Where would you ever see this? That would bug the shit out of me.
It's in my house. Yeah. Come to my house.
The vast majority of analog clocks that have Roman numerals has III instead of IV. Yeah.
Come to my house. Look at my kitchen.
I think I just said numerals.
I don't think I've ever seen that
Saturday.
Before.
Yeah. At all. Saturday, Eddie. My house, kitchen. Look at the clock.
Yeah, or just Google analog clock or whatever.
Break
You'll
it.
See it.
No, don't
I have
like
a problem
like
with that, too. I mean, II is not a Roman numeral.
No, yeah.
But I will wear my sock inside out, though.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing is, I've had this clock for a year, and I noticed this yesterday. like I've sat at that table so many times, I've just never noticed. Well, no one else has either, to be fair. You guys come over to my house.
Who actually noticed it?
Me, yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh, that thing's wrong.
Yeah.
I noticed it yesterday.
I don't know if Mo ever picked up on it.
So
I told Mo about it when he came
pick
over
up a diary, oh, okay. And just anytime you see an analog clock, just track. Get back to me in like a year, we'll see how the stats break down.
Okay, so I have a life, but I'll let you do that.
Okay.
What's our next topic?
how to deal.
Did we get good feedback that people liked this?
People loved it.
Well, people liked it enough for Muse on Minis to rip it off.
Hey, that, you know,
I thought
I did just look it up.
Yeah,
and
that's actually
they.
Yeah,
it is.
Are you on Google?
Yeah, that's not my clock. That's actually my clock you're looking at. I think. Like, no lie, I think that's
like
a
someone broke into his house, took a picture of his clock, and uploaded to Google just now.
The same one.
Said it was your clock.
Amazing.
I'm going to be pedantic here.
So how to deal? One of our many topic areas that was stolen by Muse on Mini, so it must be good.
You know, they're kind of stagnating.
Well, they
so
are.
They start out by stealing Keith.
Yeah.
Then they stole Marshall. Yeah. Now they're stealing our. They're Iowa.
They are.
They're Iowa. They have nothing.
They don't
nothing.
Have a whole lot to
yeah,
go
just not
on.
A lot
they don't have 5 hours of battle reports to talk about.
We just have like 3 hours of corn talk.
Oh, God.
Corn. What's your favorite type of corn? I like sweet corn. Me too. That wasn't 4 hours, so
yeah,
obviously
so we're
I'm
done.
Not.
So
no.
I like cream
of corn.
Making fun of Muse on Minis takes precedence over how to deal with
corn. I'll allow it. No, I'll allow it.
/ high armor.
By the way, Fat Asian, for those of you wondering, he's a genius. Just ask him about it. He'll tell you. It's true. He came to my house, and I think in a single night in 2 hours, he told me 9 times he was a genius.
Well, geniuses do that.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So
especially
you know.
Super humble geniuses.
Yeah. He never said he was humble.
That's true.
He never claimed humble.
Just
he just said genius.
It's just a fact.
Yeah.
He's not bragging at that point.
Right. I have a beard. There you go. I'm not bragging. It's just true. I have
a
beard. You can hear
a little
it.
Bit. I mean, Katie doesn't have a beard.
I don't know if you could hear that, but I rubbed my beard on the microphone.
I hope you couldn't hear that.
I hope you could.
Weird. All right. So, are we actually going to go move on to our section that was ripped off?
You and the moving on. Yes, we can talk about Colossal / High Armor.
Moving
no
on.
No one has heard about this discussion before. We're groundbreaking how to deal with Colossal.
Yeah,
hey,
no one's ever dealt with this before.
I have a groundbreaking way of dealing with Colossals.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, not groundbreaking, but I did try it out once, and it made the person playing against me basically cry.
He was going to play me next, and he was so angry, he looked at me and said, I'm so angry right now, I can't play again, I'm going home.
He preemptively rage quit his next game.
Yeah,
who was it?
It was an unnamed Kador local player,
player.
Who was playing Iron... You know, he had his Conquest out there, and I was playing McBain, because I decided... I was looking and I'm trying to make my tournament list and my 2 steamroller list, and I'm like, the kind of the go-to thing is to have an infantry dealing one, and then you really need a heavy armor cracker list in the new Colossals meta. You need to be able to break armor 23 or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, or armor 20 with 80 friggin' boxes.
Yeah.
And so...
62.
I decided I was sick of trying to do that, especially in mercs with character restrictions. Like, I have Ayan and Holt, Gorman, and Ragman, and that's all my armor.
How about Cry Me a River? I have Ayana.
You have Ossian, so lick it. You have Ossian and Weapon Master range units against Jax. Like,
I'm just joking. Go
yes.
ahead. Move on.
So I decided that it was really annoying trying to work with that with character restrictions. So I said, you know what? List my dealing with Colossals is going to be completely ignoring them. So I made a McBain list that all it is countermeasured boom howlers dry humping the shit out of a Colossal the entire game. And then once they finally – because you can't trample over them and you can't shoot – because they're countermeasured.
Yep.
And so all you're doing is meleeing some 4-plus tough boom howlers all game long. And eventually when you kill them, I just throw 20 countermeasured Risens around your Colossal, which is just as bad because you could technically trample, but there's not going to be any point. So that's just going to be a nightmare. I'll never do any damage to that Colossal, but I'll go destroy an objection or get an assassination.
Yeah.
And so far it's working okay, given that it's causing preemptive future game rage quits from my opponents.
Who knew that when you take a 20-point model out of the game, it makes,
it makes people angry?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is I'm like, taking it out of the game doesn't have to mean killing it.
No, it doesn't.
No, my first...
That's a very good point.
Yeah, that feeds into my mind, but did you want to go next, Katie, since you're next around the table? Well, how do you deal with Colossals?
Well, I was going to say, just my very first experience with a Colossal was at Lock and Load last year, so there was when they were just really being released, and I ended up taking on one of the Privateer Press staffers with it, and pretty much just avoided Conquest. I just ran my guys around them. I was able to secure the kill off of Sorsha. But, yeah, it was intimidating when I first saw it on the table, but I just avoided it. Just ran
some
around
Colossals
it.
Are easier to avoid than others, quote-unquote.
Yeah. I think most of them are gun batteries, predominantly.
So the question is, like...
Like, blind is also a huge thing. Yes. Anything that can inflict blind is negating a Colossal.
Yeah, Gorman's an asshat compared to Colossal. They hate him.
Yeah.
But... Okay, I didn't mean to jump
in. I haven't had that many problems with Colossals that I found. Like, I usually just throw Getorex up there and then...
And there's not a Colossal anymore?
And then there's not a Colossal anymore, so I really don't know what this conversation is about.
Well, there you go. Katie's answer is Getorex is awesome.
Getorex fixes
That's
layers.
Her in-depth answer.
Yeah.
It's true.
And he's, what, 10 points? Or is he 11?
He's 11.
Getorex is 11.
Well, you're still coming ahead. I mean, even if they kill Getorex back, you're still...
You're great.
Right. Well, yeah, because what will probably mathematically happen is Getorex does, like, 90... does some huge chunk of its damage and then dies, and then you finish it off with something else.
Right.
Or you hit it with a Stalker after it's almost dead, and then the Stalker sprints away, so fundamentally you only lose Getorex still.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be Getorex kills it, and then Getorex is still there, because usually he's not going to one-turn it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the thing about Peace Trade. As long as you end up ahead in the end, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Anything else?
No, that's I mean, I've done the avoidance thing, too.
Yep.
Especially since a lot of them...
In Circle, how do you do that? That's not a sarcastic question. Like, how do you... Like, when you're of the opinion that you're going to, instead of try to kill it, you're going to try to mitigate the damage it can do, control it, is there anything particular you do?
I'm guessing that I've played people who aren't that good with their Colossals.
Because... So all of you have played Katie before. You're bad with your Colossals. Congratulations.
Well, no, I mean with the ones that I just have decided to ignore it, because it wasn't dealing any damage to my guys. If they didn't know how to use it effectively, and so it wasn't hurting what it was supposed to, and so the rest of my army could just kind of move around and do whatever, and it wasn't blocking any May.
Well, I think you could even accidentally, if your army spread out and they, because you have so many beasts, if they charge theirs into you, sure they can kill a beast, but you can probably counterattack it with a couple of your beasts. So it makes them hard for Colossals to be thrown into a bunch of horde heavies because unless he can charge just right with the right synergy. Maybe like a P-Nemo, like if it has like 5 overcharge, whatever, might take out 2 heavies. But depending on the scenario, if they're not in the position where they're going to get ahead, they can't send it forward.
All and because of the fury mechanic, hordes can counter-strike harder.
Yep. Yes.
You know, if you kill one Scorn beast, they're coming back at you with 2 beasts that can each force 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Whereas against a War Machine army, you kill one Jack, their other 2 Jacks only have 6 focus.
If they even have 2
them.
Other Jacks.
Right, if they even have 2 other Jacks.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's pretty common. If you take out my heavy and Rhett, there goes my heavy.
Right.
That was fun. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, most of the time I've seen hordes have a seemingly better-ish ability to deal with Colossals than War Machine, because the War Machine just doesn't seem to have that many big hitters other than their own Colossal. And then it's just a matter of who gets the alpha strike on that.
Yeah. No, I would agree. Unless you're, like, playing Menoth. But
yeah, well,
the right Menoth list will do it. But it's more corner case in War Machine. Every Horde's army seems to do it well.
Yeah, because most Horde's armies have heavier beasts.
When I approach, when I deal with Colossals, I'm Gators. Lucky with
Way
my...
to skip me, though. That's
we're just sponsored
around
here.
Hey,
you have the...
We're in order, damn it.
This is what's called a conversation.
Jeremy, your solution is very simple, so you only need a minute for your solution.
I feed with Ossian and the Colossal dies.
I have 2 solutions.
Spoiler alert, turns out works.
I have 2 solutions. Go, Carter.
All right.
By the way, that wasn't actually Jeremy. That was me. I know that was a flawless impression. I just wanted to clarify that for anybody listening.
Dickbag Magoose.
I'm Magoose, too, now. Anyway.
Yeah, you are.
That's true.
That's for later.
That is for later.
I'm spoiled in regard that all of both of my main factions can deal with Colossal easier. Scorn with the heavy beasts can take a beating. What I'm afraid of is the the Cater one with the if he crit hits on his gun can knock my guys around. So
that
I
is
need
hilarious.
So I need to have a shield guard behind my models or a Kree to get my armor up high enough that it can't hurt. That's
although
the
that's,
one.
It's weird now with the
well Tiberian and I do a lot of armlock. Well, armlock won't help, but Tiberian doesn't care.
Well, the way shield guard works with crit pitch is kind of weird now because the AOE still stays centered on the initial target, so the initial target isn't thrown. But your shield guard is thrown, and then everybody in the AOE that stays where it was is thrown, which is kind of funky.
And that's why I kind of do the combination of Kree and shield guard, because it is obnoxious. But, I mean, that's really if – and obviously the other ones I don't care about. I mean, they all have good range, but as far as that goes, Krix cares more about the Signar one because it has the lightning pods, which are annoying. Yeah. It puts down the covering fire templates, which are annoying. Those are the elements I don't like about that one. It's guns I don't care about. I can shoot two things, whatever. The Rhett one, of course, has the AOE of death, which Krix does not appreciate that guy at all.
Well,
that
but the thing is, because you have so much stealth or high def, I have to run over my own guys in and hope I crit.
Correct.
So
that guy does love Bane Knights, though.
He'll eat the crap out of
Bane Knights. Those are really my main concerns. Krix, both of my factions don't care about your armor stat in general.
Hey, so you I'm own very, Gators.
Yeah, well, my
sadly tie into being probably the worst.
That's
why
Rask will change that
exactly,
quite a bit.
Yeah, but like Rask helps them
right
a lot.
Now. I don't play my Gators because I can't beat. I mean, I do the you have to do the avoidance. I throw a unit of Gators into the Colossal, and then I just try to run around them. Because if you can run around them and still threaten with ambushing and other sorts of things, you still have a chance. But I've never tried to kill a Colossal with my Gators.
Oh, that's fair.
So basically, and we haven't. In Madison, no one has been proxying the Bart Galleon, like,
yet.
doom that the world is all scared about. I do have some concerns with it, but I think, in fact, it is only 2d3. If they happen to get 1d3 and 1d3, and I'm charging in, he's not going to have... a lot of my Krix lists, I mean, I'm averaging 60 models lately, because gunfire is getting so good that I'm just giving them mass levels of combat. And I'm also doing... I want to do the Coven, where the Coven, the ball runs forward on, bottom of one, top of two, and feats, and then my entire army is behind cover, right behind that. So then when that turns off...
Better than cover.
I'm putting 40 miles engaging you.
Yeah.
And I'm doing an Iskar double theme force list, which the problem with Iskar's Satixis, the one weakness is covering fire can really kill raiders.
Oh, yeah.
So the...
Wait, no. Well, not the Kator one, because...
Not the Kator
damage.
One, but the... So really...
The one.
Well, that's... He said covering fire, not creeping barrage.
A lot of people refer to the both... the same.
So I'm only concerned about the Signar one, but I'm only... Krix is always concerned about Signar for lots of reasons.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned. If I can get to it, I can kill it. And luckily, I only need a few models to really mess with that thing bad. I mean, I have so many ways of dropping its armor down to like a 14.
Yeah.
Or a 3 or whatever. You know, it's some ridiculously
low
armor.
The 5 armor swing, which Krix does.
So the armor I don't care about, it's their secondary defense.
Well, except he starts 5 armor up if we're still talking about the Galleon. So all you're doing is bringing it back to 19.
Yeah.
Can Krix not take what's her face? Oh, they have a shield guard, so it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, and no, they can't.
They really
can't. They
can't
take Iris.
Oh, okay.
So I'm only concerned with a lot of mass. If they get lucky on their mass infantry removal, or if they're smart on their covering fire electro leap shenanigans. So those are the only two scenarios where I'm a little concerned. The rest of them I don't care about. They're not, free points is a little strong, but Signar, Bart, plus Galleon is a little scary. I'm not as scared because Signar has. I mean, Signar. I'm more afraid of the Signar one as a Krix player.
Well, you're just scared of Signar in general.
Yeah, and the Rhett one. I mean, it's only a 10-inch gun, so it'll get one good shot.
It's 12 if I take a cricket.
Here you go. And then
16
from there,
if you take a cricket and Raven.
So I'm situationally concerned about.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think that the threat of Krix versus the Rhett one is bad for Rhett.
I think once in a while you'll get an amazing crit consume, but if you don't, you're
and
gonna
even if
out,
I get an amazing crit consume, I'm going to be out points probably, frankly. And backlash with the whip chicks ruins my day in Rhett. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was going to say you have an answer there with having.
Peace Guard,
was it backlash? Yeah,
both scars, and then of course the.
Well, and then they have an innately.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So
the double backlash is bad, but double backlash sucks.
You know, my E Scar list, my all my models are getting fully painted, so I'll have that unleashed to the table soon. I have 22 Styxus Raiders out of the table.
I hate Krix
plus
so much.
3 solos.
On an unrelated note, I also hate you, Carnage.
It's going to be enjoyable. We're gonna hug during the game.
No. I might punch you if that's like a hug.
Why does that always happen to me?
I don't know. It's your face.
The anticipation is killing me, though. I need to know your second strategy.
Well, yeah. Okay, so I have two strategies. So
was the first one again? It was very complicated.
I feet with Osiris and win.
That is not my voice. My voice sounds nothing.
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
I'm a Jeremy.
I'm Jeremy.
I hate you guys so much.
Swear to me.
I use Ossian.
For the record, I have to do Ossian, Mini Thunder Strike Force with Ayana to really get it done and just have six infantry models kill a Colossal.
Oh,
it does
man.
Take Ayana to really just crank that up to ridiculousness. Okay, but anyway, the other answer that I do is I take my heavy of choice, preferably Hyperion, because all of my other heavies are made out of paper mache for no apparent reason. But I charge it in, I do half your damage or whatever, then I run Eris up behind my guy or next to my guy and hump it with her 5-inch, you don't get to allocate, and your Colossal just stands there and goes, I don't know what to do, and then I kill it. Because Eris doesn't affect any of my jacks. Everyone else has to worry about it affecting their jacks.
And it is a cool thing with Colossals can't be disrupted, but Eris
but
is
Eris
not
still works. Yep. So Epic Eris is my other, like, because I was playing a game, I was playing a Ron list with a Hyperion and a Cricket just because I thought it was funny, and then my buddy dropped the Conquest and double IFP, which was actually super bad for me. And so what I realized...
It was one of each type of Iron Fang, right?
Yeah, he had Black Dragons, there's Iron Fang Pikemen, that's the standard one. So anyway, it was a super bad match for me, because he also had Gorman with Blind, and it was just like, ugh. But what I realized after the game was if I had Epic Eris, I probably had that game in the bag. Because I run up with my Hyperion, my threat range is longer, I beat the crap out of it. His mechanics repair some, and I don't care, because Eris is standing there. His guy punches my Hyperion twice, I have no charges from the Iron Fang Pikemen, so they don't kill it. And then I turn around and go, ba-boom, no more Colossal, my Hyperion standing here, polarity shielded, haha, this is fun.
And your army has one of the best galleon answers, because you take your character jack, I can't think of its name suddenly.
Which one?
Discordia.
Discordia. Oh, yeah, so you have Epic Iris in front of Discordia as you advance the
so
field.
So she's immune to blast, you have so much immune to being dragged.
Because you are one of the good retribution players who understand that the pillow fist guy.
The Hulk hands. Well,
Hulk hands
we'll
are an amazing.
Artificers.
Artificers are an amazing model. If you don't like them and you play Rat, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, so in order
play
to
play how you want, but you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you guys say it's super easy, the right answer, but the right answer is actually a little more complex. You need to play Osama. You need to play Discordia. You need to play two Artificers. You need to play Major or Strike Force. You need to play Ayana, and then you need to play a stealth model, whether it be Eris or Narn or whatever. Eris is probably best. Eris sits in front of Discordia, so Discordia can't be pulled in. Discordia bubbles your Major or Strike Force, and then they can't be
and
AoE.
Eris. So that
and
can,
Eris, yeah. so Eris can't be killed. The Major or Strike Force can't be killed, and then the next turn I blow Galleon off the table and laugh. Because otherwise, if you aren't running the blast damage stuff, those Mage Hunter Strike Forces do not make it a turn versus Galleon.
I have an important, serious question for Jeremy. You just said some very good things, and a very good strategy. How is it when you play the games you can't pull any of that off on the table?
To be fair, I haven't faced the Galleon yet.
All right.
And I have blown several Colossals just off the table with my Ossian list. It's fantastic.
You've blown who?
Yeah. Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah.
I would like to know. I am very interested in who you have blown.
So would Jordan's mom.
She may already know.
Oh. She might.
You're welcome,
lady.
Jordan.
Jordan's crying.
Jordan doesn't listen.
Jordan's new Jeff. Jordan, shout out to Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan did say he doesn't listen to this, so I can say whatever I want about Jordan. He's like, I'm not listening to you guys. I already know what you think. So
that's true. Yeah, valid point.
Which he does. Valid point. We don't ever stop talking. So, yeah. So, there is a little bit more to it than the simple, obvious answer. But, yeah. So, anyway, that's how I deal with it.
Well, Rhett's really boring to look at, so we just assume it's that simple.
Rhett is... Okay, for the record, the basic paint job on Rhett, I agree, I'm not even a fan of. But with the slightly... Like, if you take away the I look like an iPhone...
Any non-studio paint scheme looks great on Rhett.
Really cool on those guys, yes. So, I agree that the, like, I'm all white
There's
and rounded
so
edges.
Many cool paint schemes I've seen with Rhett. And they don't, get super crazy. They just replace the white with something else.
Yeah. I remember one of
I'm going to pretend you're talking about the paint scheme that I picked out for
Which
you.
Which
I specifically
really
told you when I saw his Cricket that I really like the color choices you picked.
That's true. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so you don't have to pretend.
Yeah. The Cricket is the Arcantric Force Generator, in case your meta doesn't call it the Cricket. I don't know how universal it is.
The world calls
There's
it
There's one guy who is like, what are you talking about?
I don't
about?
Know.
But that one guy is not listening to us.
Oh, yeah, you mean the Arcantric Force Generator.
But the other one, like Josh, I call him Pink Rhett Josh, but I don't know where he actually lives.
He's one of the Iowa.
His Rhett's amazing looking. It's really cool.
I'm actually sick of him winning awards with it because he's won.
He does win a ton of awards. It's really well painted.
I know.
But he's had that for like 4 years now.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you can't win any more awards.
There was
he won
one,
them all.
I wasn't at the con, but there was a con where a red painted Rhett like took a bunch of awards. They had like their red scheme, Ron and like the Jax looked amazing. Like, it was really cool looking.
Jim painted
Ben's
stuff all red. I don't know if you've seen Killbox's red. It's really cool. It's all red and black. And
everything
it's really
everything
cool
but, like, the casters are painted. Like,
yeah.
They look really good.
They're still, I think, like
can
six
of worms.
Guys.
Closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're done talking
I'm
about
setting
that.
Setting this can of worms over here on the shelf. They can do their wiggle, wiggle. And we're done with them.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
My can was thwarted. I'm sad.
We're wiggling in your can.
No one. Inside jokes are hilarious to people on podcasts.
As a troll player, Andy, I can do my Andy impression and say that your solution is, I hit with Mulgan and Earthborn and then they're gone.
No. I have to have a Pyro Troll in there as well.
You don't have to. It's just Mulg with Pyro Troll and the plus one stone.
Yeah, the Creel Stone, yeah.
Seems good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Circle are very similar. What Colossal?
Well, even Trolls can kind of do the avoidance as well. Yeah, I could just send a mass of Creel Warriors right in their face, and they're going to have to deal with Creel Warriors.
Yeah, and blast damage is not killing stoned trolls very easily. You know,
I can pretty much run right through it most of the time.
Yep. Can't your Janissa, if you have Janissa and those Ruinbond guys, just lock him in place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can force lock him, but they can still punch
the. I mean,
the
Creel Warriors
are
still tying him up just as well.
Yeah, it's true.
He's not going anywhere. And double walls and trolls is hilarious with Colossals if you happen to be playing a. Aren't there a couple casters that have the rock wall spell?
Just one.
And he's horrible. The
single wall from Janissa, though, can really fuck up putting a Colossal anywhere.
If Gunbjorn is your answer to a Colossal meta.
He looks so cool, which means he must be super playable,
I bought the crap out of him when he launched at Gen Con. I was like, oh, I bought him. I got back to the room, and I opened. I'm looking at his card. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, I want a refund.
I probably wouldn't own him unless I... just because I have to own them all for who's the boss.
I do like with him, though, they had to come with the rules question of what happens when he hits somebody 3/4 of an inch away with his gun and gets the crit pitch, because he's the only thing with crit pitch that can shoot and get himself in his AOE.
Really?
Yeah, because everything else has reach and can't shoot the stuff next to it. He can just shoot something 3/4 of an inch away from him and clip himself, and it's like, well, how is he thrown directly away from himself?
What'd they say?
I think they said he just knocked down where he is.
Okay.
He's thrown straight up and takes the throw damage.
You divide by zero and you automatically lose the game.
Yeah, the Large Hadron Collider just creates a paradox and a black hole just sucks us all in and we die.
Excellent. All right, so are we done with dealing with Colossals? Or no?
Okay, Mr. Impatient Pants.
No, I'm just asking. It was a question. Yeah. It was a valid question.
Okay, topic's over because Jeremy wants to move on.
Done. Yeah. Moving on.
Good so God. Moving on.
I'm just going to unplug his mic.
Yeah.
I have my
unplug.
Aww.
Unplug is, what's the life support? That was going to be a joke there, but I couldn't say it.
My mic got unplugged. I'm sad.
Yeah.
Also, I have no idea what that sounds like when you unplug the mic. No, it's definitely my mic. When you unplug a mic, I hope it makes an ear-splitting, squealing sound on the video. On the sound.
It didn't sound. It just heard like a click.
You already make an ear-splitting, squealing sound.
Follow the soothing sound of my voice.
Right. So PP kind of went insane this week. Have they done this many model pictures just bam, 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 all in a row? One day there's here's six models. Seven or eight or nine if you count the Grimm and whatnot that they put onto Facebook. Because there's the half-finished Grimm, Epic Grimm Angus, and then there's those two nebulous trolls, the weird-looking troll, and then what looks to be probably the plastic satyr, I think.
Yeah, either a plastic satyr.
Plastic kit, so new.
Well, there's something that looks like a satyr, and he's got the armor. He really looks like it's definitely a satyr.
So plastic kit satyrs, maybe,
or a new.
Quite possible. It's either new or plastic kit satyr.
Most plastic kits have three, right?
That's a valid point.
So probably either way, it could be both.
Would be cool.
Or it could just be a plastic satyr with a character or something like that.
Oh, it could be that
character kit.
Yeah, and then there's some weird troll with giant spines, but. The official pictures they showed, Morvana 2, Gunmages, Midas, and then 3 Scorn Things. They were all about Scorn. Yeah. They got a unit of Solo and their Gargantuan shown. Yep. I listened down that order. What do you guys think of Morvana?
I haven't had the opportunity to learn how to play with Morvana yet, but she looks really nice up there. I mean, she looks a little awkward because
she haven't even played with Prime Morvana, right?
No.
Okay. There is no
Prime. Morvana is not in the book Prime. You mean Morvana 1?
All right, so... Along with your stupid names and people that everyone calls it Prime when it's the first one, all right? Morvana 1 is also Prime.
Right, well,
Prime.
Either way, I was talking.
Hold on 1 second.
Don't call them Prime.
Vote to permanently unplug Jeremy.
No. I hate you guys. All right.
But she looks a little awkward because she's side saddle and it's not. I mean, because she's leaning forward to stay on the goat when it's not standing straight. So she looks a little awkward, but all in all, I like the goat. That looks cool. It looks like a pretty model.
I like
it is a pretty model.
The instant I saw the goat, or like the original sketch, and then from the artwork they showed, and then it's same in the model too. Is anybody who's seen the movie Princess Mononoke? There's a guy who rides an elk that looks exactly like that goat. So that goat's name is Yakul.
Yeah.
And I'm totally going to call that thing Yakul for the rest of time.
Is it me, or is this like the first animal that's not anatomically correct in its undercarriage? Random side note.
Could be a female.
Could be a female.
Females don't have testicles.
That's true, they don't. So, right, no, that's fair.
But why would the female have the horns? Females don't usually have horns that are that big either.
You're missing an important point.
Females can have horns.
I mean,
depends on the species.
Usually not giant horns. Usually
I don't know if you know. So this is, we're on Earth.
Yeah.
And this is not.
We've seen other of this kind of goat, haven't we?
No.
No. Okay.
No. Yeah. No. I mean, there's reindeer for
plus,
the...
Plus, you know, females can have horns.
Oh, it's definitely a different animal than the ones the Nis ride?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, completely different. Yeah.
This is a completely different animal. Well, I mean, somebody with a monster...
You couldn't capture the same animal.
Is a goat. Not a reindeer.
Yeah. The other ones... Well, elk, aren't they?
Oh, also, what is we know that...
Who gives a fuck?
All right, fine.
There's also the umbrella of, holy crap, we're discussing
goat
horns.
And goat genitalia.
yeah. Let's just talk about goat nuts for the next half hour.
People always, like, we need to hope they talk about some more goat nuts in their podcast. We
also,
don't get enough
I'm
of that.
Also, I'm going to support female Exclusive. Narwhals sometimes have tusks, so maybe this goats.
Fair enough. All right, fine. Sorry.
But anyway, that's my feelings on her. I would play that model.
So it's a really cool
assuming
model.
That
and she's light cab, I believe it says.
Yeah, it says light cav. Or
yeah, which is
so yes,
she'll be the first light cav caster.
Really?
Yeah, because what's his nuts is heavy.
Well, there's several heavy cav casters.
They're all heavy.
Yeah, there's a bunch of heavy cav casters.
Well, I wasn't even thinking about the new ones. I was thinking about the original one.
I guess
one.
More
Cray. Cray's a heavy.
The original cav caster, yeah.
And so are the threes, Vlad and what's his nuts.
Yeah,
oh, and Virus.
Virus
yeah.
Now.
Yeah, we're up to four. Plus, with the next book, there'll be another one.
Yep.
It's all about casters on horses.
She's going to be not really... mounted, she'll be.
I can't wait for my
battle.
I can't wait for
a
Fixius on Terminus.
She won't be mounted.
Yeah,
that slash fiction, or are you talking about the model?
The model. It'll be someone's gonna ride Terminus in a battle.
Oh my sweet Jesus! I guarantee there is actually a Fixius Terminus slash fiction out there.
Oh God.
Jeremy's mom. I will not explain what slash fiction is.
Yeah, or 43.
Yes.
But Jordan's mom, pay attention. We're going to go into this for great detail.
Oh, she already knows.
Jordan's told her all about it.
Yeah.
Speaking about mounted things, and that's actually not segueing into a dirty joke, how about those the Gunmage Cavalry?
Yeah, they look pretty cool.
Somebody pointed out, and I think it's true, in my mind I can't refute, is that this is the first non-armored mounts. Like, those ponies just don't have armor on.
They look like the cavalry you'd see in... I can't say it. Back in American, they look like American cavalry.
Like Western.
Revolutionary.
Yeah.
Revolutionary War.
Yeah, which they're definitely, they have that cowboy feel to them.
I would agree.
I thought the horses looked nice. I know a couple people online were complaining that they looked pretty poor quality, but I guess I'm used to some of the GW poor quality horses, so maybe I'm just, that's the bar that's been set to me.
They look like pretty nice horses.
Somebody pointed out that they have moobs. And that thing
that's
is then
just,
I
those
are horse packs.
Well, exactly. Like they look like moobs unless you if you Google and look and see what actual horses look like. They have those.
Yeah.
Like those
that'd
are definitely
be a
horse
sign
packs.
Of a good horse right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, and the other thing that is
Jeff.
Kind of given
we
away
do need Jeff.
He's a horse expert.
No, that's true. Jeff
yeah, he actually owns horse.
Yeah, is that they also say that they're probably like they don't say straight up that they're blessed, but they imbue them with lethality to penetrate magical protection. They're blessed.
Yeah,
so that'll
be awesome.
Interesting. Is blessed calf.
Yeah, it'll probably be one of the rune shots would be to have blessed weapons. I don't think it'll be innate.
Maybe
because
not.
It's been talked about imbuing and
yeah,
stuff like
that's
that.
True.
Probably,
I can see that as a rune shot.
Yeah.
I will greatly enjoy killing those models.
Yeah.
I'm
just hoping that they are allies or qualify for some kind of merc theme forces because regular gun mages do. Oh, whatever. Boo-hoo.
I hate gun mages.
I find it odd that...
Otherwise, they'll give us our own cavalry, and then if they do that, I could have three cavalry...
Yeah.
Units on
well,
there.
They're another light cav shooting unit, and the Raptors are so good that these guys kind of scare me.
This is just what the thing about this is. It's just a prelude to the greatest thing in the world that's going to come out later next year,
which is what
Bane cav.
Oh God!
Me and Keith are going to high five from Iowa to Madison. You're going to hear the slap.
No one wants to see Bane cav ever. Oh,
I can name
God.
You a few people.
No one who doesn't play Crix wants to see Bane cav ever.
Well, no one who doesn't play X faction wants to see X model ever.
Yeah, but no, my point is though, light cav shooting Raptors are fantastic. So yeah. It seems really good.
True.
Wow, I silenced the crowd.
You do that often.
That's not true. I haven't taken off any clothes.
Normally we're busy. Yeah, exactly. My pants go. Everybody's like, oh, that's sad. That's sad.
Aww.
I'm excited because Midas. For Midas.
Yeah.
Like, that guy looks awesome
looking. Yeah.
He's a little bit like, I like his fatality pose, you know, he just, yeah. He's just sub-zero at someone's, you know.
He looks like he just pulled somebody's spine.
Yeah, he just pulled somebody's spine out, which is interesting, because the concept art, it was a warp wolf, and that's not a warp
wolf. That's not a warp wolf.
Like, somebody pointed out, it's the, oh, I forget the name of it, somebody's a super fluff bunny pointed out that it's whatever species of animal Krix used to make the heads for the soul hunters.
Really?
It's something that's in the Monstronomicon. This is, they're not in War Machine, but I forget what it is, but there's some weird creepy-looking monster.
Yeah, no, it's really, really cool looking model.
And
he's a bone grinder.
Yeah, he's a bone grinder, which would be cool. If he has, like, God, I love bone grinders, so if he has, like, an elite cadre or something with them, that would be really, really sweet. Yeah. And also, the descriptions a lot talk about him raising things from the dead, so he might have, like, respawn.
Respawn could be really good.
His feet could be some kind of weird bring, like, you know, Thagrosh 1 style thing.
Well, it could also mean a new kind of bone grinder unit, which would be kind of sexy. Like some other magical
maybe.
Pigs.
Yeah, because they haven't shown the pig unit yet.
They have not.
Nope. He could have a built-in +2 to a range or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
He could have bronze feet. No, not really.
Somebody was saying it would be cool if he had what Bone Grinders had in the first, in Mark 1, which is when a beast died within their command range, they got to steal one of its stats, like armor, strength, or whatever, and for the next round, you know, they'd say, that Warp Wolf just died, I'm stealing its strength, and I'm giving it to that model.
Oh, jeez.
And the model they pointed at had it for that round. So it was
kind of like an infantry, and it's just like, I'm a Warp Wolf.
I think so, but I think it was model, yeah. You know, it was single model, but you could just go boink and just zoom it over.
You mean like what Wolf Laird Morag is strength a bazillion plus all of his super things?
Yeah, yeah, it was something crazy. Seems like that. It was good. Mark 1, dude. Mark 1 was a lot of craziness.
Yeah, well, I guess he wouldn't do Wolf Lord Morag, but whatever. You know yeah. What I mean. Yeah. Somebody like that.
No, I'll give solo. Massive strength to Targ. Fear it. Fear Targ.
He's charging it for the kill.
Targ might actually do something like aggressively himself.
It's not like Targ always stays exactly command range behind things.
Minions,
no.
Minions are very lucky. Both of their caster models are very good looking. I mean, we already know that some Gators got lucky with rules and the model is amazing.
Yes.
You guys have an amazing model.
Yeah, yep. And we already have, I think pretty amazing. Our casters are amazing. Yeah. I like all three of the
pig casters.
Casters
are solid.
So if he's also solid, it's just going to continue the streak of wonderful pig casters.
Yeah, pig casters have like kind of the opposite thing of the Rhett's.
Their
casters are amazing and all their units are kind of meh.
Well, just grinders are awful. My God, is that not a 5-8 unit? Not grinders, excuse me.
Grinders are good.
Yeah, brigands. Brigands are not a 5-8 unit. They're garbage.
But then you put them with your casters, you're just like, holy crap, that unit.
They're mostly still garbage. It's Carter that does it because he gives them CRA.
Amazing, yeah.
And with CRA.
Well, CRA and Weapon Master.
5-8 CRA is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Interesting timing thing because anytime prayers aren't something that's restricted when you're fleeing. So grinders, if they're fleeing, can always just say, I'm activating them. They're praying for fearless. They are no longer fleeing, and they're going to do their thing.
Yeah.
Like, looking through timing and the rules, I don't see anything that's alternate to that. So I think same thing, like anything that can grant fearless, like them or Rupert. Like, Rupert can be fleeing and go, fearless on those guys, I'm okay, and then charge around and do his stuff.
Yeah, because he's not a star, actually.
He's an anytime as well.
Yep, because I know he can run and do his thing, so yeah.
So it restricts him from doing anything else, but it's still awesome.
So?
But now we're going to, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Mr. Scorn player, everything else is friggin' your faction. He said, here, Scorn gets lots of pictures.
Yeah, they were very generous with Scorn.
You don't like the mammoth, they were saying.
The mammoth, I think, is okay looking. The tusks are a little ridiculous.
Which by a little, you mean a lot.
It is. I mean, big insane models are always kind of cool, and I'll own one. I know some people always complain that it has 4 barrels, but it shoots 3 times. It's shooting all four times.
Yeah.
It's not shooting one at a
time.
That's
why the AoE
I thought the fluff behind the mammoth was it doesn't reload. And so that's why there are multiple guns on its back, as it fires each one.
Just
right,
fires
but
rotten.
It has 4 guns, and it's rate of fire 3, and
right.
That's bugging people.
No, that's my point.
Like,
is that is rough. It
but
doesn't
it's
fire
not,
all 4 guns 3 times.
It does. That's
not according to its fluff.
No, that's not true.
I thought its fluff said they haven't figured out how to reload it, so they just gave it more guns.
So then in your, like,
it would only fire
what's
once a game,
with the 4th
then.
One?
Well, right, but it takes a whole turn to reload it because they're bad at
then
it.
Then why give it 4?
I agree. That's dumb.
I think if it was 1, it wouldn't have the AoE. I think because it's 4 guns firing is why you get a bigger AoE.
No, that's valid. It's kind of a...
I mean, it's a neat model. Obviously, the rules are for me
it's like broadsides.
For me to spend that kind of money, it has to have rules I can get behind. I just can't drop them. But it's a gorgeous model. I mean, I have some issues with its head a little bit. I wish the head was a little bit different. It's not
Triceratops frill.
Yeah,
when you're not
it's
digging.
A little. It's less tightening than I would like. Would like its head to be.
Is it modified? Do you think you'll be able to modify it?
It's gonna be all right.
Anything's modifiable with a saw.
Well, yeah. No. I mean, like Is it within your skill level to make the head more what you would want, or do you think it's outside of your reach?
It's well beyond my level. I don't know, and I don't know. I mean, with that one, I mean, I usually have Andy help me a lot, but to make that look a lot different, I don't know if it'd be possible.
Yeah, you'd have to get a lot of parts ordered or green stuff.
But I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, you know, we'll see what it does. It's neat. But yeah, then we got the score in Solo, which is, you know, what's its name?
Mortithurg Willbreaker.
And it looks like it's not a character, which is nice, so probably FA2 or something, and maybe some Theme Forces will bump that up.
Yeah,
could be. It looks like it's Annihilator Solo that, like, it could do, like, potentially seduction or influence.
It sounds like it does some kind of seduction, because it talks about
causing fear in your opponents.
Influence the mind of an enemy soldier as easily as they control the great beast of the Scorned War Host. So
it could have actual influence.
Yeah, it could have influence. It might have some kind of beast. Having another any kind
seduction,
of
it's like influence is longer range than seduction, but you don't get the move. So they're each powerful in their own way.
Yeah, but influence on a solo, getting off seduction,
and it makes it sounds like it can cause terror.
Like it can do terror.
Yep, sounds scary.
Either causes fear as a natural thing, or it can create
a few things
force.
Terrify a warrior more. Then his fate is not his own. I wonder if he does something to you and then your unit can break.
Or if he has a spell that may cause a check. That'd be kind of cool. I mean, he seems intriguing.
Kind of like a Hellfire.
Yeah, I mean, Scorn is always tight on points. And, I mean, certain there's a couple of casters where I want more infantry, like, you know, a Zal or a Mordekar.
Well, anything that shakes up. Because, like we were saying before, like, there's that cookie-cutter Scorn thing that a lot of people, you know, you start with the Bronzeback and the Gladiator and the Pain Givers, and then you build your list from there. And so anything that can shake that up and give different options is good.
It's interesting that he looks, like, in the picture, he looks like a really big model, but he's a 30-millimeter base, according to the stats.
He's a small
base. Yeah, just a beefy guy.
He just looks really beefy. Yeah. Like, looks medium-y to me.
He's ripped. He's kind of like me.
I do.
Yeah, you're into that guy?
Yeah.
Well, anyone that plays Scorn's into a little less than him, let's be honest.
And then there's the Flamethrower guys.
The Flamethrower guys look neat. The rules were spoiled-ish a little bit at War Machine Weekend. The models look neat.
I miss the rules spoiling.
They're in the range 10, 3-inch auto-fire models.
But they're not sprays.
They're not sprays. Nope. They're 3-inch AoEs. They auto-fire. They don't have Weapon Master. They're a 6-9 unit. I think based on how the meta...
They're
like the Accurai with
a half a piece.
Did they spoil their mat? Because it says skillfully wielded swords.
They're like, I think like 6 or 7. I know their rat's like a 6 or 7.
I'm just saying that'd be a really good multi-purpose.
They were 6-6.
If they're 6-6, that's pretty good.
They might have been 6-6,
That would be really good.
They seem potentially good. I think it really depends on how your meta's flowing, how well they'll really fit. But they have potential. But I'd have to see. I mean, they don't hit very hard, and when I don't use a Centrati because for 11 points I'm getting 5 or 6 attacks. It's just not enough damage output for me.
Yeah.
I mean, some people love them, and with like Xerxes, they will make up their money. Yeah. But
well, they get to walk forward 4 inches a turn, being not killed.
But having six,
if they're
guys,
not scary once
six,
they get there, who cares?
Six AoEs that cause fire automatically.
Here's the real question: would they replace your slingers? Because they kind of do a similar job.
They almost are.
Slingers only AoE if they hit, so they don't... Like, the drifting auto-fires is very different than...
And they have arcing fire, too.
I'm aware, but I'm just saying, it seems like a sort of a similar role to what slingers do.
I think slingers are more similar, because they're just, like, single-shot things. I think they're more similar to the CRA guys. I mean, obviously, they don't have CRA, but they're that...
Yeah, I mean, I love my... I mean, I obviously use slingers almost every list for the entire year, and they did really well for me, but I would not take both in the list.
No.
So, obviously, we'd go with one or the other. I think they're definitely worth trying out. I just don't know because that mechanic is so different than a Scorn world. I can't wrap my Scorn mind around it without playing.
Yeah, like Scorn is definitely getting a big boost in the ranged game, and it could be interesting to see how Scorn goes ranged.
Well, with the Red Rocket and everything.
I don't think FMK is going to be a ranged. I mean, Epic Hexy helps with the range a little bit. He's our best range caster, but we'll see how the rest of it goes.
Yeah. He's the one with Black Spot.
Black Spot.
Spell's insane.
Black Spot on Mammoth means unlimited firing of gun if you kill something in that unit?
No. For every time you hit something...
You kill something, you get a Black Spot, but Black Spots can't trigger Black Spots.
Oh, okay.
You know,
so you only
currently
get, you
the
only
most
plus one shot.
Currently the most... And it has to be the same type, so if you kill with melee, you can't then shoot.
Right.
So currently the most ridiculous Black Spot thing is the Crix one.
Right.
Because he's got his little dinky guns, and he uses a dinky gun shot, and then the Black Spot shot, he uses the main cannon, and then dinky gun main cannon, and it's just...
Yeah, I get that.
Accurai can get unlimited attacks, and Black Ogryn can get... Because it's a range... You Black Spot something, you harpoon it in, then you kill it with a sword attack...
Then you drag something.
You drag something up because your initial attack is never caught. The requirement for killing is off the...
Your melee is causing a ranged, which is granting a melee, which is causing a ranged, which is granting a melee.
And you never
so
trigger
and so
the
forth.
End condition.
Yeah.
And it only works in one unit, and it's...
Cool.
It's one of those, in theory, it's awesome and never really happens.
If Black Ogryn auto hit, they infinitely kill every infantry model near
that's in their range.
Yeah.
That's black spotted.
Interesting.
And they're like friggin' 6 points or something.
Six points or five.
They're so cheap.
I'm putting
them on the table. I've never seen them on the table ever.
I don't know why. They've been on the table for me a few times.
I know.
Okay. I haven't played you when you play them.
I think that's all for the new stuff, though.
You know, anyone else have thoughts or comments on the models? Andy's a little quiet. If you had any.
Andy fell asleep. Andy's just listening to music on his headset. So he just grooving to Dream Evil.
Andy and all of our listeners.
Yeah, they tuned us off.
You guys used to be interested. Hey, I don't know what's happening now.
To people painting while listening, you missed a spot. under the arm. Yeah, there you go, under the arm. Good job.
Good job. And if you're at work, quick, move your mouse furiously. Your boss is coming by.
Yeah.
All right. Are we done with pictures?
Yeah, no, moving on.
All right.
It's time for something that we... John and Keith and the Muse on Minis guys invented this. It's kind of cool. We're thinking we might use it. Hopefully we can do it. It's a cool idea. Happily for us, we don't even have to change the name.
We don't.
We don't have to change the name.
Right. Well, that's a nice coincidence.
It is a coincidence.
Yeah.
Very convenient.
We should do it, yeah, like a Josh's Corner. And have you talk.
Welcome to Josh's Corner.
Get in the corner, Josh. Face the wall. So Katie's Corner, floor is yours.
All right, I wanted to talk about picking a caster, becoming good with that caster, and then transitioning off to the next caster that you're going to be good at. Because usually you need two different lists, and you need two different casters that play not the same way. So the first one for me was Chromec that I learned how to play. And I would suggest taking a caster that's a little bit easier to learn, but is still all around very good, which I think Chromec is. And you play them enough and you talk to enough people to see what works. So when I sit down at the table, I already have all my tokens laid out. I know exactly what he's going to do. Even if the other person is very distracting, I don't have to think about what I'm doing because I know him well enough that I'm going to know that I need to do this. I need to know when... And say Wild Aggression and what's the other one that I always
Warpath.
Use?
Warpath.
Warpath. Warpath is a big one that always triggers... So getting into the habit of every time Warpath triggers to make sure that you're using it if you want to use it, if it's in your benefit. And he's a little harder for me to speak on just because I've been playing him since I started, which really wasn't that long ago, but was long enough ago that I don't remember him so much. But for my second caster, I chose Mosar, who is much more complicated. There's bigger learning curve, but I think will work out pretty well. And what I found with learning a new caster is, one, you lose a lot just because you don't know. You're either distracted by all the different things that there are to do with the caster, or you don't realize how squishy they are, or you're not taking advantage of their strengths the way that you need to. And with Mosar, one of the things is he's really squishy. Really, really squishy.
Yup.
And so it's finding ways to get around that squishy factor. And part of that is learning how to build my armies around my caster. So one of the things that I always take with Mosar, because of things like Signar and Rhett and shooting, is I always take Big Fist Guy, whose name I never actually learned.
Yeah, he's the one that pushes people, but I don't remember his name either.
He pushes them. I don't know his name. But he's one of the stone guys. And
it's Rumble, right?
The Flesh of Clay guy.
Yeah.
So, and I always use his Animus, which is Flesh of Clay, and that way there's minus one dice on shooting, which is very helpful with Mosar since he gets shot at a lot, I found.
Yeah.
If you give somebody the opportunity. He's an easy caster kill. But, you know, other than that, it's learning when do I put down his circles, when do I put down, I shouldn't say that, his Pillar of Salts. I call them circles because that's what a ring is. It's a circle.
And circle of salt on a table.
Circle of salt.
It's a salty circle.
When to
pull them.
What is that?
I don't know.
Specifically.
I forget.
I am confused.
You don't know what a salty circle is?
I do not.
Jordan's mom. Can you please write in and tell us what that is?
I'll explain it to you when you're older.
Jeremy's mom already knows what it is.
Go on.
Sorry.
Thinking about Jeremy's mom's salty circle.
Right. But you know, he's not as straightforward as Chromec. Where Chromec, I know that I need to have Wild Aggression on whichever beast is going to attack first the next round. So I'll put Wild Aggression on my Getter-X because I know my Getter-X is going to attack first, upkeep it, he'll go, and then I can just activate Chromec and put it on my...
Stalker.
Stalker, thank you. I cannot think today. My mind's not there.
It's the heroin.
It probably is. And so that way I get to use it twice, and so it's really easy, but it's also really straightforward, and you just have to get the activation. Whereas most are, it's really more reactional of, like, what are they doing, and where are my weak spots, and how can I support him more? He's not as straightforward. And so it's playing a lot of games with a lot of different armies and figuring out where his strengths are, where his weaknesses are, and how do I need to cope with these? Because, let's face it, with a lot of casters, if somebody comes at you, you have a decent chance of surviving, especially for War Machine, because you guys can just pile on your armor.
You get transfers, Crybaby.
Yeah.
I can transfers, but he's only got 8 fury.
Yeah.
So what am I supposed to do with
that? That's unfortunate. You're breaking my heart.
Wow.
Yeah. Is he base 8 then gets another one, or is he base 7 and gets one?
No, he's base 8, and then he can do maltreatment and get another one.
He's effectively a 9.
He's effectively a 9.
But to be, you know, then you get into the whole argument of focus versus fury.
Right.
But my point is, he dies really easily, and a lot of casters. And Chromak doesn't. And so that took a lot of learning for me, because if somebody comes and attacks Chromak, he just beasts out and then kills them. It's not that hard. And so if you're a newer player, you know, you start out with somebody who's pretty straightforward, someone where you can learn the back of your hand. When you sit down with them, you know that this is what I need to do, and it doesn't really matter what the person across the table is doing as far as trying to get into your head or doing something that you may not have thought about or counted on them doing. You still know how to react because you just know that caster. And then moving on to somebody who's more difficult but has the ability to be a better caster than the one that you're used to playing. And sure. I think Mosar has said, I haven't reached it yet, but I think he has a better ability to be more comprehensive.
I would agree.
Yeah, I'd say fundamentally the way that you're learning your circle is the way that I think any new person should learn their faction, is start off with one single caster and keep on playing them and just play them until like you literally dream the movements of your caster, and then, you know, branch off. And I think that's the best way to really harness and master your faction.
Well, because not only are you learning that caster – and dreaming about how they move and whatnot. But,
especially if it's Morvana.
She moves so sexy nice. I love to watch her salty circle sway. But
now, what does that even mean?
Oh, you know what it means. Anyway, now I keep thinking about Jeremy's salty circle, too. But something that you didn't mention specifically, but it is part of it, is that, so you've got Chromak down. You know, you play him, and you're learning the game in general, and then you get Chromak down, whether he is a simple to start one or not, you know, but that's a good example if somebody is simple. And once you've got him memorized, then you start to memorize all your units and all your other things. You learn, you know, what your beasts do, what your jacks do, you learn what the druids do, and you get them all down, because what that does for you is it gives you an anchoring point. When you switch out Chromak for Mosar, he's complicated as crap, but you only have to worry about learning him. Because you know how your army functions, you know, whereas if you start with a complicated caster, you're like, oh, this guy, when then these druids do what now, and I just lost, what the hell?
Yeah, I think that's something that is very important. Like, you started with the right caster for Circle. Like, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's who you should start with if you're starting Circle new. Chromak is the, especially if it's your first faction. Like, every faction has this is your baseline starting good caster. For you guys, it's Chromak. For Kador, it's P-Butcher. For
not even good so much as simple to play, like straightforward.
Yeah, straightforward.
He allows for some mistakes to be made. He's got 7 fury, and so he's got a decent command range or control range. If you do allow a caster kill, he has some answer to it, as opposed to some of our other ones, like Kaya, who's just going to be like, I'm dead.
Right. This is how I've seen some players pick Kaya, because she's in the box.
Yeah.
They get Kaya, and they Spirit Door in, and they go, I'm going to kill your caster, then they fail.
Well, it turns out you can't attack after Spirit Door.
You can.
Not
you
Mark
can.
2.
You can.
You cannot attack or cast a spell.
You can't move.
No, you also can attack.
You can attack. Spirit Door can attack. You're wrong.
Thinking of something else.
You're thinking of everybody else. They nerfed.
P. Kaya
can teleport.
P. Kaya's spell specifically says the target of the Spirit Door cannot make any attacks.
I think it's move. I don't think they can move.
No, I'm 100% certain on this one.
Someone load up War Room.
In Mark 2, she can't.
Pause. Well, let's assume you're right.
So whatever.
Somebody with War Room, look it up. But yeah,
doesn't matter.
Moving on.
The point is, like, they start with a complicated caster, and they're trying to learn a complicated game with a complicated caster.
Yes.
And so starting with simple, or like Brian's example with Crix is, is he's probably not, not even probably, he's not their best caster, but Asphyxius 1 is really, really straightforward.
Yep.
You know, you do you have his buff, you have the armor debuff, you do your thing, you charge, you feat, you murder, wash, rinse, you're done.
Yep.
You know, whereas, like, when I played Krix, I loved Denny Want. She's so amazing. Or in Mercs, I love Fiona. And Fiona is the most complicated goddamn thing on the planet. Yeah. Fiona's got so many weird, funky, finagly spells. She's got all this weird stuff going on. And she just, if anybody's like, I'm going to pick up Mercs and I'm going to play Fiona and this is awful and I'm selling my Mercs, goodbye.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe that's something we can touch up on in a future episode of talking about, like, what would be a good starting point for a caster.
Yeah, because I think I did it wrong.
I'm just putting that out there so Muse can take it this week.
Yeah, because now Muse will do it next episode.
But not even just casters, but, like, you're in welcome, general, Keith. When you're switching stuff, you should try to switch up, like, one or two things at a time. Because so, then if it doesn't work or does work, you know, if it doesn't work, you know why, and you can kind of finagle around and try different things.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, especially when I was... So I tried out Baldur before I tried out Mossar, and I just did not like Baldur's playstyle. It didn't match the way that I think. Plus, I'd gotten used to really quick beasts, and stone guys are not. They're like speed 4. It's ridiculously slow.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys move anything around the table ever, especially like Kador. Anyway, but because I was trying to learn him, like, I had to switch my entire... You're probably breathing into the microphone.
Brian, you were just like breathing heavily into the microphone.
I was confused because Jeremy was right. So yeah. I did, my body was failing.
I tell you, I played a game against
that's
Katie
why they're that's why their new players are doing it wrong. I didn't catch
it. Yeah, new players do it wrong.
Yeah. New players do. Poop.
It's funny because it's poop.
But anyway, when you change from somebody like Chromax to somebody like Baldur, like, you change your entire army, and that may have been part of it, is I didn't know what this guy did, and then I would forget about Geomancy, and then some people have sympathetic transference, and it's like, oh my god, there's lots of new things to do, but what did come out of it was the Shrimpies.
They're bad. Shut up.
No, they're amazing.
They're bad. Shut up.
is I learned that they did work.
They don't.
What are the baby shrimp
people
called?
Listening? Ha ha ha.
Wolf stalkers.
Ha ha. You guys are such funny people. Ha ha ha.
See, I just like to give bad
listeners
advice.
Do not actually. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then that way I'm a better circle player because everyone follows my advice.
So Katie, as you switch casters and try new things, you can just skip Epic Kruger. He's really not good, so don't even bother.
Yeah, you
with
really shouldn't learn Epic Kruger.
You don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, I've
actually
heard just terrible things.
No
about
Krugers.
Him.
Yeah, no, skip the Krugers is our advice to all new players.
Yeah, like, P. Kruger is really bad against Krix.
He's had a whole series of bad movies in the 80s. So, just don't deal with him.
Don't do it.
So,
you're welcome.
Most people probably know that you guys are joking.
Yeah, probably.
I don't understand.
Wait,
I'm serious. Don't
do bad advice.
I'm serious. Don't do it.
Yeah. My issue with trying new casters is that every week I try a different caster. Like, this week I'm playing Ashlyn, this week I'm playing Magnus 1, this week I'm playing Gordon, this week I'm playing it. And so I just don't. Well, I need to just play the same caster for, like, 5 months.
Yeah, well, and the other thing with playing the same caster, and something I noticed with Katie's Chromac is, I feel like the first, like, 10 games you played with Chromac, like, you realized this keyword in one of his abilities that was something... I remember that we played several times... I played several times against you, at least, and suddenly we realized that triggering Warpath off of Druids is totally not legal. Well, you can if they hit something in melee, but their magic totally doesn't trigger Warpath. Right. And we just didn't even know that, because, like, I'd never sat down and read Chromac's card, and all of a sudden you were like, oh, Baby Shrimp, and then Baby Shrimp kill things, so... But yeah, so, like, things like that, like, learning every key word on your caster, it's like... that's something I always notice at Who's the Boss. It's like every time somebody somebody walks by and they're like, well, why didn't you just do this? I'm like, oh my god, you can do that? That one word and that one ability would have been so amazing to notice. Like, that's
passive terrible. Abilities can be amazing.
Yeah, especially on passive abilities, yes. So anyway, that's something I noticed when you were learning Chromac. You learned every word on his card.
Yeah, but the other thing to keep bear in mind, so I think last time we talked about how you're just going to lose a slot when you're a new player.
Yeah.
You'll get... starting to win games because you'll get good with a caster and then you'll switch casters and then prepare to lose just a lot again.
Yep.
It's very frustrating.
Whenever you're trying out new stuff, you know, it's just like in the bedroom. When you try out something new, it's going to be messy. You're not going to know what's happening for a while and then eventually you get it down.
Well, I feel like they're all winners, though, in the bedroom still.
No, not all of them. Not out. No. No.
A lot of mess on the walls.
Yeah. Like... I want to just start listing things I know the terms for that Jeremy doesn't want his mom Googling.
False. I don't want to know these things.
No.
Sometimes it's better not to know.
It is better not to know, but there can be bad things in the bedroom. or things that just aren't for you. Some people like aren't Falter, into the rusty trombone. Some people are.
What is the rusty trombone? Is that anyway, when you bring out an old instrument and you're like, I'm going to serenade you.
That's exactly what it is. Like,
you know, sweetheart, back in the day when we met in high school and we were on band and I played the trombone and we fell in love. And so I put it in the closet, you know, because I gave up playing the trombone. So now it's all rusty and we're going to rekindle the romance. I'm just going to put my mouth and work the shaft on my rusty trombone. And then you snuggle romantically. Old people in the sunset.
That sounds very romantic.
It is romantic. So kids at home, just, you know, break out the rusty trombone every once in a while.
Oh, God. I'm going to save Jeremy.
Welcome back from the edit. I'm just going to put that out there so Andy has a good point to come in.
Do we have anything?
No,
we can just segue in. That can just be my recommendation. We can move to recommendations and I can just recommend the rusty trombone.
Oh, no.
Actually, in the interest of proving that nothing's off topic in the off topic, my recommendation actually is something in War Machine.
All right. Are we actually, is that where we are?
Some music stores might have older instruments you can use.
So go to a music instrument and ask the clerk to give you a rusty trombone.
Yes.
So yeah.
Wait a minute. I do want to finish.
One final thought.
Some people I know get stuck using the same caster that they learned with and are really good with, and they don't like going through that I'm going to lose a lot again stage. Don't get stuck in that, because people will learn how to defeat Chromac. People learn how to defeat, I know you mentioned P. Butcher.
Yeah.
And they'll just start to expect it and already know how you play. You have nothing new to throw at them.
Unless you accidentally get stuck on E. Gatsby, you're still okay.
Well, then everybody in your meta starts bringing Haley 1.
E. Gatsby or E. Haley, everyone just stops playing you.
No, if you get stuck on E. Gatsby, people just bring Haley 1 because she trumps the living crap out of E. Gatsby.
Yeah, if I could take her out, I would.
Because you know how his feat's good? If he doesn't get to feet, it's not good.
It turns out it's not good. Out, in general, his faction doesn't enjoy not running or charging.
Yeah.
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 But either way, you're going to plateau. You're not going to grow as a player.
True.
Yeah. So. Try to stive your addiction to Iron Flesh.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, yes.
Because someone's going to drop Chromac down.
Or P. Kruger.
I meant to say P. Kruger, actually. Yeah.
Recommending?
Moving on.
Yeah, so my recommendation is something we touched base on, but I am going to recommend the Bone Grinders.
I still thought you were going to say Rusty Trombone.
No. I recommend grinding that bone. Those guys, they'll work in almost anything. I think they work with any of the Hordes factions, because the pigs are that way. And they're super, super good. Like, what it is a minion of Bone Grinders is my favorite two-point sniping solo in the game. Like, forget that they're a unit. Just take that thing off their card. Well, let's look at the three-point version. This is a magic ability 11, range 12 shot that you have to kill 6 times before it goes away. And the first 5 times you kill it, it just takes -1 rat every time it dies. Yeah. I mean, I've had those things shoot into melee, and I'll, like, roll a 5, and they're like, oh, you missed. It's like, no, I totally hit because it's friggin' magic ability 11.
Yeah, and the fact that magic ability gets around a lot of defensive buffs.
Yeah, it's magical. A lot of defensive buffs can't ignore it. And then, of course, you know, the advantage they have as a unit is that if you get close, they can charge in, and now you got 6 guys meleeing into you, which is hilarious, but they are my favorite three-point shooting solo.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
They're so good. Not even counting the other stuff they do, like the free animus, which as a pig player, I really need that free animus because massacre is not worth it for 2, but it's super worth it for 0. But the range extension's good, but to hell with all that. If they just had the zap, I would take them so often. And I'm just surprised because of that I don't see them in other, like, faction lists. Like, troll, like, when I see Alton Ashley, I'm like, yeah, he's 2 points, and he's, what is he, like, rat 7 or rat 8, maybe?
He's super high, but...
Yeah, he's super 11. High, but he's not 11. Yeah. He's not 11. Like, just get a foot-long zap and fucking rat 11 for 3 points.
Well, I feel like, in general, outside of the Gatorman Posse, a lot of people don't seem to take minions in Hordes as much as people take mercs in War Machine.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
I just don't think they do.
Yeah, that's a good
Scorn
point.
Scorn has so much in-faction buff, it's hard to fit them in. I mean, they are good, and I would like to put them in there, but it's a little bit difficult when everything's faction bonus. But
like, Scorn specifically even, like, they don't have, like, we were just talking about how Scorn doesn't have a lot of shooting. Like, who's your solo hunter in Scorn? You've got the gem, the eye zapping guys.
Yeah,
extollers, the stoneware.
Well,
I mean, he has.
What are they?
My bronze back beats back through everything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Scorn doesn't believe in a surgical approach. It's really surgical approaches are wasted on them.
Yeah. So like not everybody's
going to have a house on you.
You know, it's a recommendation, not a mandatory thing, but those
good.
Of you who are on one of them, take a look at them. Magic Ability 11, Range 12 zaps are really, really good, and you're allowed to use them if you're playing Hordes.
Yeah, honestly, sometimes that plus 2 range, if you're not going to zap, is pretty darn good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, plus 2 range on any spell for your caster if they're
any spell from a caster. And they do it as an action. They grant that ability, and it's like a range 6, but then the caster can go wherever the hell he wants.
But they do have to be hanging near your caster, then.
They walk like 5, and they do it like 6, so they have to be like within a foot of them or something. So it's not too terrible.
Fair enough. The plus for Scorn is Scorn needs rush, and people love to target those gladiators. So if you do lose a gladiator, you still get rush because they can cast it. So that is a good reason to put them in Scorn.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I would agree. 2 goddamn points, or 3
or
if you want.
Or 3 for the awesome 11.
Well, even at 2 points, they're at 9.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Good recommendation.
Hooray for me.
Huzzah?
Huzzah.
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 Welcome to medieval times.
All right, I'm going to go next. I, the other day, got the best thing in the world in a...
Was it a rusty trombone?
It was not, unfortunately.
Okay.
But maybe I'll have to buy you one, Jeremy.
Oh, God. I feel like that's just so wrong on so many levels.
But
I'm trying to think of
her buying me
actually
one.
Going and buying the rusty trombone. And then just
walk up to the store clerk. I need a rusty trombone.
My lucky day.
2 for 1 today. Hey, Bob, get up here.
But anyway, I got a book in a Dirty Santa exchange at
work. It's not called Dirty Santa.
Whatever.
It's a White Elephant exchange.
White Elephant
Dirty.
See, I got confused because Nathan was calling it something else.
I already dropped one horrible dirty phrase this, so we don't need to move in that,
too. Taught me a new term this week is all I'm saying. Anyway, we had this, and I gave this like pathetic-looking clown. It was terrifying.
It was terrifying.
But what I got in return was a book that's like The Secret Diary of Lara Croft.
It's not Lara Croft.
That would have made Twin Peaks so awesome. Because if somebody was researching the murder of Lara Croft.
Oh my God. That's too many, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Laura Palmer.
Palmer, yes.
It's a Twin Peaks series. So far, it's been a fan favorite.
So your recommendation is a tie-in book to a mid-90s drama.
Except the book's not even your recommendation, I thought.
Well, it was going to be the 90s game, which I also received.
In
also
the same
fantastic.
Box of terribleness?
Well, that's because it was a 90s drama, and it was all tying in. Somebody put a lot of thought into their...
Yeah. With Lara Croft. I want to watch that show now.
Yeah,
so
I
want to
watch the show so bad.
But anyway, we started watching the show, and I started reading the book, and so far it's been pretty enjoyable. Right off the bat, there's molestation. I'm just going to put that out there.
In the book, not the show.
It's creepy as all get out, but it's very entertaining because it's just so over the top. And like, and the show...
Well, anybody who's watched Twin Peaks, I mean, it's so over the top.
Well, I had never even heard of it
before. You have a backwards-talking, dancing Czechoslovakian midget as a character.
Yes,
and none of that was made up.
Nope,
he just dances out and talks backwards, and that's the character. And then a lady with a log and a llama for some reason.
They have subtitles, so you know what he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the lady with the log is called the lady with the log. Or log lady. Or something ridiculous. But so it's an over-the-top, ridiculous show. If you love bad TV, this is definitely something that you should look into. And also get the book that goes along with it.
Yeah, Katie definitely is all about recommending horrible TV. That's her thing. Anything else?
No, that's it.
There's legions of fans of Twin Peaks.
I know, that's the frightening part.
Well, yeah, a lot of people like Lynch. You know, I mean, because Twin Peaks was way over the top, but there's nothing wrong with being over the top if it's on purpose and fun.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can just...
Yeah, no, I know. All right, so anyway, I would recommend not to the things... No, I won't do that. So, my actual recommendation, and I'm going to stay spoiler-free because otherwise Andy will punch me in the face, is the new The Hobbit movie. So, I'd heard very mixed reviews about The Hobbit movie from several different sources, and so I was a little bit nervous going in, but
because you're a big fan.
I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. So, just as a history into the twisted mind of Jeremy, when I was growing up, I didn't get bedtime stories. I got the Lord of the Rings series and The Hobbit. My father would read us like a chapter or two a night, and I think by the time he stopped reading his bedtime stories, I'd had The Hobbit read to me 2 or 3 times, and I'd had the Lord of the Rings series, the entire trilogy, read to me.
Did he read
the Silmarillion?
I read the Silmarillion, though, around the time I stopped reading bedtime stories, because it was just like, that's what I grew up with, was Lord of the Rings. So
that book puts me to sleep.
The Silmarillion?
It's because it talks about the hill for like 20 pages.
No, you're thinking The Hobbit.
I don't care.
Anyway, I love Lord of the Rings. Huge, huge Lord of the Rings fan, all right? So I was really nervous that Steve Jack...
Steve Jackson.
The running back for
it's the guy who made Munchkin.
Yeah, Peter Jackson. So I was really worried that Peter Jackson.
Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
Stop it. That Peter Jackson decided that he just wanted money, and he was just going to say, I did this great Lord of the Rings thing. No, I'm just going to cash in for three movies and make them The Phantom Menace. I was really worried based on the reviews I heard. Went, saw it, really enjoyed it. Like, legitimately, I'd heard that it's worse as a fan. It's not a spoiler, but it's not something that's super out there. There's lots of things in there that aren't strictly in the book. Mm-hmm. Some of them are in the Silmarillion. Some of them are hinted at and never, like, officially written anywhere. Unless you read, like, the secret, like, stuff that he's released that were, like, his private notes and stuff that he released after the fact. Like, some of it, like, you just don't find out in the books. Some of it, there was a few things that were just straight up added. And from a movie perspective, it kind of makes sense why they added them. And I won't spoil by saying what they were. But
is it as bad as elves at Helm's Deep? Because there's no goddamn elves at Helm's Deep.
It's worse than elves. To be fair, as far as strictly, like, not in the story, it's worse than elves at Helm's Deep.
But from a movie point of view, that was great.
But it ties very well in very nicely.
Is it worse than the mouth of Sauron having a vertical vagina mouth?
I'm not going into that much detail. But anyway, it's similar to elves at Helm's Deep.
Ruins
something that was not
character.
There at all. It's totally there. Yeah. But they use it to move the movie along. So I'm okay with it. One of my friends was there that's not a huge Lord of the Rings fan. He didn't really like it. Katie, who's also not a Lord of the Rings fan.
See, that is just not true.
Well, no, you like it, but you're not like me. You're not a huge, like, I'm a Lord of the Rings fan.
No one's like you.
You enjoy Lord of the Rings.
Yes, I enjoy it. But one of the things, I always take pee breaks during movies.
That's
they're
what I was going to say.
Too
you're
long.
Stealing my story.
I know, but I wanted to talk.
It's all her right, pee. Fine. It is her pee.
It is mine. I can talk about it if I
so
want.
So talk about your pee.
But I didn't find a good break point in this movie, because it was a long movie, but it didn't ever feel like it was dragging to me. Like, there wasn't a point like, all right, I can definitely
miss
this.
Which, given that the entire plot is people walking for 3 hours, you'd think that you wouldn't have had that difficulty. But
right, well, that's what the book is about, too.
Yeah.
And I did find points in the book that I felt were good.
You could pee while reading the book.
There were a lot of times to go pee.
Did you plan ahead, and you were like, just walk, like, yep, right as I do this, I'm going to go pee.
Yeah, so she didn't go pee during the movie. So
I don't care about a bunch of dwarves drinking.
But yeah, it was really good. It was super good. It was approachable. I think that if you don't know anything about Lord of the Rings, like you never watched the Lord of the Rings movies and you never read the book, maybe you don't like it. But I don't know people like that. Like, I just don't.
Our group of people are too cool.
Well, right. I mean, like people listening to this podcast,
people
let's be honest, you've probably all at least seen the movies. Like, at least.
Yeah.
You've seen the movies. So,
Jordan's
really good.
Mom and your mom?
Yeah, both of them.
I suppose your mom would.
Yeah,
everybody on this damned planet has seen the Lord of the Rings movies. They're, like, issued. Yeah.
So, anyway, it's fantastic. Highly recommend it. Go see it and then post on the forums how you think I'm wrong and an idiot. But it's fantastic.
We'll all laugh along with you.
Yep. All right. Who else recommends things?
I have nothing to recommend.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
You're not allowed to do that.
My gosh.
God, you've had 2 weeks
to
think of something to recommend.
2 weeks?
We're going to kick him off his own podcast.
Since our last episode.
No, I'll just unplug everyone's mic.
No.
You recommend your Wendy's.
I really like Blood Bowl. It's really fun.
I got you started. That was not Andy. That was me.
Shock.
You know, I'm sitting next to you. I just don't know.
It's like,
happening.
Oh my god, it's two Andys. What the? Yeah.
Your beard grows when Andy, you do that voice too.
And it's true. I physically transmogrify. A word I learned from Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes. Fantastic word.
Yes.
You just need a box.
I might have my recommendation.
Andy recommends Blood Bowl. You do too. You liar. You
spent
love
like
Blood
an
Bowl.
Hour telling that Blood Bowl one time.
Yes.
I do enjoy Blood Bowl. It is easily the best tournament game outside of War Machine that I've ever played.
So now that we've dragged a recommendation out of Andy, forcefully.
Yeah.
Really? Like, well, I guess
no. Easily,
it's super fun to play, but like it's so like random.
It's
like,
recommendations, not counterpoint.
Yeah,
that's a valid point. No, I'm agreeing. I love playing Blood Bowl. I super love Blood Bowl, and I do enjoy playing an attorney. So I guess I'm not even disagreeing. And I guess me particularly, as somebody who gets screwed over by randomness, I should dislike it. But that's true. It's such a weird random game where sometimes you just roll a six with your first action, and it sucks to be you. But it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah. After my experience playing Warhammer for so many years, playing in tournaments, it's
fun.
What the hell?
Brian was bothering to correct that sixes are good and ones are bad. So I'm sorry I got that backwards.
Someone's going to spot. Gonna check
the
that.
The three thing. People that listen to our podcast, one of them's going to catch them.
Ooh, as long as people are listening to podcasts, I want somebody to break down the math here because I'm too lazy. What's of my math? Favorite Blood Bowl story. Which is the first time I ever played Blood Bowl, because the PC version came out. I bought it because Andy said Blood Bowl is awesome, and I saw Andy playing the PC version, so I bought it. And I built a Chaos team, and I had a Minotaur on my starting team, and I had an Apothecary. And my very first game, the opening kickoff, the random event was a Throne Rock. That Throne Rock randomly hit my Minotaur. So one out of something. To make that event, then one out of something to make the Minotaur get hit. Then it broke through armor and actually caused an injury. That injury was a death, and then I apothecaried it, and it stayed as a death. So number one, somebody do the math. Number two, that was my first goddamn experience of this game. Was I'm going to turn on this game. Let's go. He's dead.
Well, it will help the math. Throw a rock is only one out of 12.
Do the math later and then post it.
It's an 11. It's an 11.
It's an 11.
Okay. On the kickoff.
So that's one out of 11.
So the three people are still listening are turning people. Us off as we do math.
No. Well, just real quick.
No,
it's one
I'm
out
just
11.
Going over what the stats are, Jeremy.
How many players 11. Are on each side? 11.
So one in 11.
So one out of 11 again.
Well, first it has to pick a team, so isn't one out of 22?
No. It's whichever team has. It's a roll off between the two teams because whatever team has the highest fan factor.
So there's the event, then there's the roll off, which is modified by fan factor.
Yes.
Then there's the which player gets hit, which is going to be 1 out of 11.
Correct.
Then there's the armor break.
Armor break, which Minotaur is armor 8.
Yeah, so you need to roll a 9 or higher on two dice. Then what the injury is, which deaths happen on a 6. So that's 1 in 6, right?
No, deaths actually happen on a... It's a separate table. It goes 10, 11, 12 is casualty.
Right.
And then a separate table from there, basically an 8.
So it would have to be a 10, 11, yeah.
It's a D8 plus a D6.
Yeah.
And
then,
so it's like 8. So yeah.
And those last rolls, the finding out it was a casualty and everything, that happened a second time because I apothecary. Because
that's a reroll, yep.
So it's literally like one in some millions possibility. Yeah, and that was my welcome to Blood Bowl.
Yeah. The board game, the video game plays exactly the same thing as the board game. And honestly, I think the board game is better. Overall, I mean, it's a more face-to-face competition.
Yeah, it's not the kind of game you play. Because it's such a wacky, fluffy game, you don't play it like, oh, I beat the Blood Bowl single-player PC version. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
You know.
It'll give you a good basis on how to play the game.
Yeah.
But to be honest, like I said before, it is the single best tournament experience that I've been in.
Counting War Machine or outside of War Machine?
Outside of Counting War Machine.
Well, there's a difference between a tournament experience and
the game
itself.
I'm clarifying.
You know what I mean?
I thought before he said outside of War Machine. So I was just
it's right up there. I mean, the same kind of rider. When you go to a tournament now with War Machine, you get along with everybody.
Yeah,
you're there
definitely.
To play the game. You're there to have fun.
Yeah.
And as different to other events that I've been to for like Warhammer, when I go there... It's not really a personal experience.
No,
I go there. I'm trying to win.
You're not playing Magic to have fun with your opponent. You're playing Magic to play Magic.
I'm there to destroy my opponent.
And your opponent.
In Blood Bowl, it was the same way as how I go down to play War Machine. Is I go down. I'm going to show up with my team. I'm going to roll some dice. Something wacky is going to happen, and one of us will win.
Or during.
It's. if I could actually convince you guys to actually paint up 16 models to go play in this, I
feel like you're overestimating my painting.
The local area for Blood Bowl. I mean, like the largest tournament that I've been to was just at the Chaos Cup this fall,
Chicago area, right?
Down in Chicago, and that's run by the guys that actually do a different podcast as well as Zerpcast. They had 80 to 85 folks just for a Blood Bowl tournament, and traveling from outside of the country as well. I mean, it's crazy the amount of people that will travel for just Blood Bowl.
See, and you said you didn't have a recommendation.
Liar.
No, it takes me a while to get started.
All right. Takes you a while to get started,
Brian.
You say?
That's what you said.
Yeah.
See, that could be dirty.
What a heavy
joke we're making.
Definitely need more heavy petting.
Yeah, he needs to be held after, too.
Yeah.
Beard
stroking. I like to be cuddled.
Yeah.
Needs a little spin. Brian was like trying to hold the serious face and then just lost it.
That was scary. All right. My recommendation, I am going to follow another video game like I did last week. Or last 2 weeks ago, I guess, would be the proper
whatever.
A while ago. Last episode. This episode, I'm recommending a game called The Secret World for the PC. It's
That's a weird title. The Secret World for the PC.
The Secret World, which is on the PC.
Oh, okay. That makes
this again starts to sound dirty.
It's an MMO, which I don't really get into as much anymore. It used to be a subscription-based game, and I refuse to play them because I don't have enough time, so I can't pay for a monthly service when I need to paint models and play board games and play.
I was going to say, you have a lot of free time. You just have other hobbies.
I have other hobbies. It isn't rate high enough for me to do.
Well, yeah, because the problem with pay subscription things is you're paying that fee whether you play the game or
and
not.
I feel like I'm obligated to pay. I need to paint miles. So anyway, it went free to play. It only was $30, so it got marked in half. It's a modern day game, which is cool because 90% of MMOs are, you know, orcs and goblins and whatnot. Yep. And it's a Cthulhu themed. It's very horror based, and I love horror in general. Horror, not whores.
Oh, okay.
He likes both.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
That's a different
recommendation.
That's a recommendation next time.
That's a different recommendation.
My recommendation is whores. Whores for everyone.
And also this game, so it's themed like a Cthulhu game. What's cool is you don't pick classes. You pick a character, and you literally build a character how you want. And I love skill-based games versus class-based games. Okay. You can also screw a character up worse that way, but because you can keep adding skills, you can eventually fix
it. Start over, or do you have to like buy a new subscription?
You just make a new character.
Make a new character.
Okay,
it's so like any MMO. You can just have all
I'm just checking.
But some people play it enough where they have every ability everywhere if you play it long enough, so it doesn't matter. Because basically you can only have a couple active abilities and a couple active weapons, so you really custom. You might have 1,000. You might have purchased 500 abilities, but you only use 6 at a time. So that's part of the gimmick in the game is how you combine your stuff.
Fair enough.
One thing I like about it, like when you quest in an MMO, a lot of times it's go kill 10 chickens, bring me their heads.
Yeah.
Because obviously chickens are the enemy, or 10 rats, or in some quests
it matters. Wolf pelts. Yeah. Goddamn wolf pelts.
So here's an example of a quest in this game. And there are some kill 10 zombies or things like that. I'm not saying it's all different, but a lot of the quests are investigation styles where I came across a van. My quest was there are some government dudes doing some weird stuff in the woods. I need to go see what they're up to and report back. So I go find their van. In the back of their van is a computer, and there's no guys there, just an open computer. I click on the computer, and it gives me a login screen. It's like, enter password. You know, I got there. I don't know the password. And then there's like a password hint next to it. And the hint is my wife's first name. But obviously, I don't know what that is, because I don't know what person did that or whose wife's name. So I search around the van, and I find two corpses. I find a guy and a girl, Eric and Jeannie. But they both have different last names, so I know
they're not married,
wife.
Right.
But then they have an ID badge like from the Orchid Company. So what I literally have to do, because it's a modern game, modern-based game, and the game, you hit B, it brings up a browser. So I hit B, I bring up Google, regular Google. I have to search by that company, and the people who made the game made a fake website for that Orchid company. I have to go find the employee directory, find that character's name, and then in his bio he mentioned his wife. So I have to go back into the video game and put, you know, her name, you know, go back to the computer, you put in his wife's name, and I get that. And there's tons of references where you literally, when you do research, you have to use the internet and search a variety of things to look it up. And they put a lot of things into the internet for their game, though. You have to hunt down.
That's cool. Well, it's kind of like, I'm a huge fan of it's less common now. Well, they do like have fake like commercials and stuff like that, and like Lost had tie-in websites and things like that, and Cloverfield had fake newscast stuff. But when AI, the Steven Spielberg movie, came out in theaters, there was a whole fake this whole campaign where like this lady had died, and there were all these websites that were all like she had a Facebook page kind of thing, and all these things just on the internet with no explanation whatsoever that you could search and root through and find out all these little tidbits and details about characters in the movie.
Yeah.
Or like actually, like Cloverfield, the characters in the movie all had Facebook pages, and like including invites to this guy's going away party that was the first scene of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, so prior to the movie coming out, there was all this. Cool,
it makes it more
stuff.
Interactive, and plus, The Secret World, it's more of an action combat thing. So you don't just stand still. You know, so you're running around shooting guns, having to dodge. You literally have to move, and so it's kind of neat. I mean, it's $30. You play it as long as you want. So. I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, I've been playing it for the past week. I've been playing with some friends, and you know, I'll play it here and there because it's free to play. So I don't need to.
Yeah. So now, once again, one of Brian's recommendations. Like, I don't know if anyone else cares about our recommendations. I've already requested The Dresden File, one of the first book, as a Christmas present. So
yeah.
Yet you haven't watched Speed Racer yet.
You know what? We were going to go watch Speed Racer. Our very first episode, you promised our listeners you were going to introduce me to Speed Racer. Lying liar.
You need to play the walk.
No, you
I
had
to
leave
you
right
to the
away.
Rusty trombone.
I'd really rather you didn't.
So
I hear it's good though.
Nathan was talking about, and Brian was talking about cool things that kind of advertisements online. There's the OmniCorp consumer products for RoboCop. Which I was hoping I would send Nathan into a 5-minute rage about.
I look
the
forward
new...
to that movie never coming out. That's going to die in production.
Looks there's so a horrible. 1% chance it could be good. No, I'm sorry, 0.01.
No.
There's always
RoboCop
a chance.
Doesn't wear rubber Batman nipples.
I'm hoping that that's a gimmick. Like, that's actually not really. That's a joke.
I've seen it in too many pictures to.
They're going all out to pretend.
My one hope that can't possibly be true is that that's his SWAT team battle armor before he gets fucked up.
But it's not. But it's just not.
No, it's just somebody doesn't understand the concept of RoboCop.
It is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is awful. Yeah. But the original RoboCop still holds up, so I'll just watch that.
There you go. Done.
I love movies that hold up. So few do, but RoboCop does hold up.
Yeah. The special effects and stuff are still good. There's something about stop motion. Like, with animals, it doesn't work as well, but, the stop motion Ed 209, he looks like a real, 10-foot-tall robot in that room.
Yeah. No, they did a good job. Yeah. All right.
I've never
seen
RoboCop.
You should see RoboCop.
And RoboCop 2.
Seems like a terrible choice for a girl.
No. Buck the gender stereotypes.
That movie was rated X.
It's an 80s movie.
Was it really
movie?
Back in the day?
Yeah.
It's an action's 80s movie?
It's a satire. That's what it actually is. It is an action movie, but it's a self-satire as well, because it's over-the-top knowledgeably. One of my favorite things in the ratings board, screwed it is, there's a scene where somebody gets shot for 45 seconds straight. Yep. The machine guns keep tearing into him, and it cuts away and cuts back to him, and then cuts to the shooter, and then cuts to people watching, and then cuts back to him and cuts away. And at first, this guy's getting shot, and this guy's still getting shot. And then it becomes hilarious. It's slapstick. It is Three Stooges comedy that this guy is still gushing geysers of blood and viscera as he's being machine gunned down for a minute. And so they thought it was too over the top, so the censors actually made them cut it down to 10 seconds, which was the most brutal, horrific, non-funny possible length for it to be. But the unedited version is just wacky. People blowing up is almost like a pie in the face in that movie. A guy turns into some slime monster that gets hit by a car and liquefies like a water balloon. That's too goofy to count as action.
I mean, if that's genuinely the case, then I might get a shot. It's just that a lot of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies from the 80s are just terrible.
Come on, Total Recall.
No.
We watched Total Recall. Amazing.
Total Recall is
did
pretty
I watch
cool,
Total
but
Recall?
Yeah, because we did.
But
the
90s. No, RoboCop is not. I don't consider
no.
it as being
yeah,
on the same lines.
It's yeah.
Did I sleep
it's a
it?
It's a modern
no,
day documentary
we went to
about
right
Detroit.
After and you were awake.
Yeah.
What, did you wake me up to go to the theater?
No, I did not.
Everybody listens in fascination as you discuss going to see Total Recall. Good God.
Speaking of bad choices.
Yeah.
See, I don't remember that movie at all.
That doesn't shock me.
That's a good sign of a good movie. No memory but whatsoever.
Yeah.
Are we just done being ridiculous?
Just hopefully nothing triggers the memory of Total Recall.
It's better than having a bad memory, I guess. Having no memory is probably a blessing.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Kind of you're... I was going to go with some sex with Jeremy joke there about not remembering it because it's bad, but meh.
Well,
too much effort.
There hasn't been a lot of mocking of me this episode, actually.
There hasn't been. That's why I was going to try to force one out there.
No, don't force it.
Don't
force
it. No.
No.
Don't force the trombone.
don't force it. You'll just take it nicely now.
Just grab on with both hands and
let it happen.
Is it like the tomato?
It's like the tomato.
What?
Oh, God. We will tell you that never. Certainly not on mic.
It's healthy. It's healthy for you.
It is healthy.
Yeah, seeds.
What?
You weren't there for the tomato?
No, he really wasn't. Yeah, anyway.
No,
he had left already.
Left.
Oh, yeah, he missed.
Free. Anyway, terrible inside joke, which we cannot say on air.
It's just a health.
Why not?
It's a health recommendation.
No, we really can't.
It's not a thing you can talk about.
No, it's really not.
We'll have a health tips section later on how to deal with how tomatoes can make you more healthy.
Healthier.
Yeah.
My new recommendation is that not to run your podcast into the ground with inside jokes for 45 minutes after it should have ended.
Hey, we're entertained. It's all that matters.
That's true.
Now we can go watch
some
Dexter.
We can turn the mics off and be entertained.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Tomato. You stick the tomato.